This is PFW in Progress.
Misfits, too. Maybe we should stay here for a while.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Here comes the coach.
PFW and friends. Huh?
Paul Perillo.
Longest, thickest peanut butter.
You mean pea soup.
You eat what you like, I'll eat what I like. Yeah!
And Andy. And Andy?
Why am I such a misfit? I am not just a nitwit. You can't fire me, I quit.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth.
Seems I don't fit in.
Andy Hart.
Something wrong with your nose? I mean, you talk kind of funny.
I don't talk.
You're so funny both the way I talk.
Who ever heard of a skinny?
Some guy named Tom.
Eat.
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
I think you're cute.
PFW in Progress.
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
You might want to turn on the mic, huh? PFW in Progress here at Gillette Stadium. Paul Perillo and Tom Casale are the only two that decided to show up for the show today, so we're going to have to apologize up front. Andy called in snow, and no one knows where Fred is.
He's like Newman. He doesn't work in the snow.
I don't work in the snow. Now, Andy is out today, so Tom and I will take you at least through the first hour. I assume we'll be joined for the second hour as normal by Fred Kirsch and everyone's favorite PFW in Progress member, Eric Scalavino,
yep,
for our weekly trip around the NFL.
We should mention that Eric has made up a girlfriend now. So
really?
He got sick and tired of the ribbing, so apparently he's...
And
I have air quotes going here, a girlfriend.
Now, any chance that she lives in the greater Niagara Falls
area?
He
says no, but he's being quite vague about it.
Okay. This is stunning news to me.
Yeah, he's. I think it was just to get Andy off his back.
Well, I'll tell you, that's good news for Eric, but I have bad news for another member of this show, and that's Fred Kirsch. And I don't know if you've noticed this. It's a subtlety, Tom, but I've been watching ESPN News here a little bit, and, you know, the scroll that goes by with all the different headers,
mm-hmm,
and we've been giddy all week because the Patriots have had their own header, you know, Pursuit of Perfection.
It's been replaced by the Mitchell Report.
We now have a Mitchell Report tab instead of the Patriots' separate tab.
So as Andy
Fred Kirsch will not be happy about
that. As Andy would say, any port in the storm for ESPN, apparently.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And while obviously this is a football show and a Patriots show, the Mitchell Report is going to be due out in about an hour or so, 2 hours. We have had some reports of some of the names, and ESPN has been running them. Roger Clemens and Andy Pettit are two of the names, so... They said that there was going to be some big names, and evidently they weren't lying. So those were two, obviously, the more prominent
trainer
names
for the Yankees was distributing some of this stuff. And
yeah, the Yankees are heavily involved, but something tells me the Red Sox will have a name or two as well. Although I don't think they'll be, we did get a list of a bunch of names, and we don't know if it's official or not. We'll wait till the report comes out. But something tells me some Red Sox will be showing up as mm-hmm well. But anyway, this is the Patriots and PFW in Progress, so we don't need to get too much into that. We're looking forward to the NFL version of the Mitchell Report.
I was going to say, if the good news is if it was the NFL version, I'm sure plenty of Patriots would be on it.
I think it would be the opposite of the Mitchell Report that supposedly has 50, 60, 70 names on it. I think there would be about 30 names off of it.
Yeah.
In the NFL, because I just can't imagine there are too many players that aren't on something.
And I had told you, Paul, and I don't want to make any accusations here, but when I had first seen Sammy Morris when he played for the Dolphins, I said, you can tell what a kind of muscle that isn't natural. If anyone's wondering why James Harrison all of a sudden turned good, he's got that unnatural
look.
Muscle that it's just freakish, but you never know.
And we should say that shortly after you said that about Sammy Morris, that next year he was suspended. And I know it was for Sudafed.
Yes, for Sudafed. But,
anyway.
I need to get me some of that Sudafed.
We don't have to get into the... I got to bulk up a little bit. You got any cold medicine? we don't need to talk too much about the steroid stuff. So we'll obviously take your emails in our first hour.
And the big news is they signed a tight end.
Yeah.
And he has played, I don't know the practice squad stuff like you and Andy, 13 games in the league, 2 seasons for Philadelphia. Does that make him eligible?
He would be eligible for the practice
squad. Okay, so he may be on the practice squad. But it's Steven Spock,
It's S-P-A-C-H.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly how
to pronounce that. He had a locker in the locker room. So, and Mike Reese had reported earlier that he was one of three players that they tried out, along with Rashad Moore and Bobby Hamilton.
Right.
Who Bobby Hamilton's got to be 75, right?
Oh, yeah.
He was playing when I was like six.
At least.
I can't believe that.
Great guy, though. I
know.
I hope he comes in the locker room just so you can meet him. That's how good of a guy he is.
So, and I think they're obviously looking for, which we have been saying last couple weeks, some backup for Vince.
Yeah, well, I think that would be Rashad Moore. Yeah. That wouldn't be Bobby Hamilton. Right. It would be Rashad Moore.
But also Seymour. Now,
sure.
Because he had come out and said he's not 100%. So that's interesting that they got the two defensive linemen there. We'll see if anything happens with them.
So we got a lot of stuff on the table. We'll take your questions, your thoughts, your predictions for the game, whatever you like. Webradio@patriots.com. Once again, webradio@patriots.com. And you can also give us a phone call, which, you know, Tom, that's been a big transition for the show, I think, over this historic season. Is we used to be just email-driven radio. We're now everything. We have calls, we have emails, and, you know, guys just kind of drop by unexpectedly.
Yeah, now, what happens if the Patriots start to stink? Do we, like, our show go
maybe
away?
Maybe we'll just go back to email-driven radio. I don't know. But
508. Do people still care about the show, like, if they stink?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. We started the show when we were a non-playoff team.
Right. That's what I was wondering.
Absolutely. But you know, I would imagine that we have more listeners now than we did then. But, you know, we like to think it's because of us. But, you know, the fact that they're 13-0 might have something to do with it.
Probably.
Might. Anyway, 508-543-7482 is the phone number if you want to give us a call. Tom, kind of a low-key day here today. Now, I think we should get the Fred Kirsch kind of minutia out of the way. Patriots moved up their practice time in an effort maybe to beat the snow. For those of you not living in the Boston or New England area, a pretty significant snowstorm due. Actually, any time now. It's supposed to start at some point in the afternoon, and we could get anywhere up to a foot of snow. Belichick decided to move practice up a bit, I think, in an effort to try to get them out of the elements, but they will be out there practicing in whatever it is the weather calls for. Bill said they would not go outside. They're actually in the bowl. They're in the stadium. But other than that, not really a whole lot of news coming out of the press conference. In the locker room, because they moved practice time up, they didn't move our access time up, so, I mean, we were kind of in and out of that locker room in a hurry, and not a lot of players stuck around to talk. They got dressed really quickly and shot right out to the field. I mean, I don't know. Did you get it? I mean, I know you talked to Jabbar Gaffney, but
yeah,
I don't think that wasn't really news-related.
No, he's a nice guy, though, that Jabbar
He
Gaffney.
Does seem like
he's
a very happy guy.
He's a very fun-loving guy. Did say he would like to be back in New England. You know, he's I asked him about first question was, how do you go from being the Texans' leading receiver to out of the NFL, to a key contributor to the Patriots? And, you know, and he just said he didn't know. He didn't understand why he was sitting home watching TV. Because say what you want about Jabbar Gaffney. You know, I mean, he's an average receiver,
sure.
Let's be honest. But he did have a couple of decent seasons in
He shouldn't have been out of the league.
And to be out of the league.
He should not have been out of
odd.
The league.
Yeah.
When he got let go by Houston and went to Philadelphia, that team with those receivers had no business cutting Jabbar
right.
Gaffney.
Exactly.
No business.
And so he's a good guy. I like him. He just said he wanted to be back. And there was what else was going on? Rodney talk again? Did he talk? Did I see?
I was
there?
Not in on him.
Ellis Hobbs. So.
Hobbs talked, but he talked to one individual. He talked to Chris Gasper at the Globe. I talked to Chris a little bit about it afterwards because I wanted to do it, and basically he's doing the story that we were going to do. So, you know, I'm not exactly sure what all the answers were there, but just about how maybe he's struggling a little bit in his coverage and whatnot. And, you know, like to see what Ellis had to say about that. But one thing that he did say, Bill had mentioned on Monday that the fact that he wasn't returning kicks in the game against Pittsburgh may have helped him a little bit defensively. Ellis kind of shot that down and said, look, that was more of a kind of a, you know, coming off a short week, you know, with maybe a little bit of a rest, and that I think he expects to be back there returning kicks.
Now, oh, okay.
We'll see what happens on Sunday when the Jets come to town. But
so maybe Troy Brown active?
Who knows?
Chad Jackson on
who knows?
Inactive?
You know, I'm done trying to read those tea leaves.
Yeah, I don't.
Every time we do it,
the Troy Brown
we get
thing
confused.
To me is the biggest mystery. I mean, they activate him. Now he's not playing. That's kind of a weird one.
Yeah. So I'm going to jump around here. We have emails coming in. I'm going to get to them a little earlier today because we only usually do an hour of the emails, and I know that people take the time to write in, so I want to get to some of them. Let's see. We'll start off
here. Hey, Mini Gary, how was that sub the other day? Good. Was that good? Enjoy that, did you?
This ought to be good. He can never talk to us.
Whenever
he tries. Yeah, we didn't hear it.
Yeah, he's taking 20 minutes. He's pressing buttons.
He's eating your sub.
It was delicious.
Oh, there you go. Excellent.
Mini Gary, I'm on Atkins. I'm off bread. So next time I'll give you the bread and I'll take the meat.
There you go. He's been on Atkins for about 14 hours
right
now.
There. He'll take the meat.
I started Atkins last night at 5.
Did you get that? I'll take the meat. Did you get that? Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Steve is in Ames, Iowa, Tom, and he says, when the game starts to get out of hand and the cameras start panning the crowd on Sunday, it would be great to see some PFW signs, something like, Tannenbaum is a Peckerwood, ask PFW. Probably have to incorporate CBS somehow, like Tannenbaum is a cork bleeping soaker, ask PFW. Come on, PFW listeners, with tickets to the game, show us some creativity. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, we need more of a following. We need signs. We need, like, a cult. We need things like that.
Yeah, I'm all for the cult.
Yeah.
You ever see Varsity Blues?
Yeah.
You know, and the little brother, the younger brother?
Yeah.
Who's that? That's Dawson, right? He's in that one.
Dawson's
Dawson's little brother in that one. He starts his own cult, and the mother's like, isn't that cute? Yeah. He starts his own cult. Yeah, you know, the things that stick in my mind, I'll tell you, Tom. Yeah, steel trap for anything that's of no value use whatsoever.
We could use a good cult.
We could use a cult. So we're taking names for our cult. PFW's cult, okay? Steve in Ames, Iowa has started the groundswell. We need one. Tom seconded the motion. We need a cult.
Hopefully this cult will end up a little bit better than Jimmy Jones's did.
Yes, we don't want any death. We just want a cult. Anyway, Iggy is from Madrid, and he says, let's face it, it is what it is. Lawrence Maroney can't run the football. My question for you guys is, can BB make a good third down back out of him? If somehow, someday, he is close to as good as Kevin Falk has been for this team, I'd be more than happy. In other words, we already know that he can't run, as Tom always says, but can he receive and run in open space? Wow, that's a little harsh, I think, even for you.
Yeah, I didn't say that he can't run. I said that I don't think he has great vision, and that hurts him running inside. A couple of things to defend Maroney is, one, the offensive line, like Andy has said, is just not used to run blocking this year. They don't run the ball at all, and I just don't understand why. That's why I think they don't really like him. And two is they don't run him wide at all, with the sweeps and stuff like that. You don't see a lot of those, the stretch plays. I don't know if that hurts him. But the part with that is you would think Bill, if he thought he was good at that, would do it. Because Bill does whatever, you know, it's got to be killing him to be throwing the ball 80 times a game. The guy's a defensive coach. He loves defense, but that's the way he can win. So he does it. He's a chameleon. He'll do whatever he can. That's why with defenders of Maroney, I find it hard because why isn't he in the game plan at all? Why aren't they throwing him screens? Why aren't they doing this? Why aren't they doing that? Because Bill would get him involved if he felt he could help the team.
And I think that's the aspect of it when you and I discussed this a few weeks ago, that was the aspect of it I think that you won me over on the argument. Because I understand that Bill is a game plan guy. Okay, so I can accept it for a game.
Right.
But when it becomes a month,
then a season.
Now I'm saying, well, because I'm looking, and I'm looking at the rushing attempts for the year, okay? And for the first five, six games, I think it was five games. Dallas was the fifth game, right?
Yeah.
They never ran the ball fewer than 30 times. Well, they've only run it more than 30 times once since. So that tells me that Sammy Morris was there,
right,
and Maroney was good enough to share carries with Morris, and we can run the ball. But now we're not running it that much because Maroney's not good enough to get them all himself.
Right.
The way Morris got them all himself a couple of times when Maroney was out. So that was high. I mean, I think that point that you made about if he was good enough to be on the field, he would be with Bill Belichick. I think that's how you kind of won me over on the argument. Now, well, I don't think that he's a stiff.
No.
I don't think that he's without talent. I think that he has a chance to still be a good player. I don't think he's going to live up to be
right
a first round
and
draft
that's
pick.
The thing that turned me, because I was a big Maroney guy too, and the fact that he wasn't on the field to me said something's not right here. And we keep getting emails, Paul, that say give the guy time. He's been in the league 2 years. He'll be lucky to get as many yards as he had last year. So after 2 years, what you're saying is you got a back who runs for 700 yards a year. That's what you got. And I'll ask the people out there, how many first-round draft picks took more than 2 years to be good in the NFL? Maybe Thomas Jones, I would say.
For running backs,
yeah,
you're talking
running
about?
Running backs.
Especially at that position.
Other positions are different.
Right. I think wide receiver is a
yes.
position that sometimes, you know, Eric Mould is a guy. It took him two, you know, his third
Reggie
year.
Reggie Wayne.
He was all of a
sudden, lot of guys.
He was pretty good.
But I'm talking running backs.
Running back to me is
either
the
good
easiest.
Or you aren't.
I think that's the easiest one to do it.
Right.
Is running back. You know, I don't know. I just think that we bend over backwards to find reasons why it's not that good. I think the bottom line is exactly what you said. If he represented among the best chances for the Patriots to win, he'd be more a part of the offense and the game plan. And even when they have big leads in the fourth quarter, that's not how he chooses to run the clock out.
Right, and that's telling. And like I said, you know, hey.
And by the way, I don't think he's wrong. I don't think Bill is wrong.
Oh, no.
It's not like I'm questioning the manner in which they run out the clock, because I think he's doing it the best way for the Patriots.
Right, and like I said, you could defend Reggie Bush if you wanted to, but bottom line is, that's not what was advertised to me. The Reggie Bush I see in the NFL wasn't what was sold to me. Now, he's got 70 receptions on the year, so I could say, well, look, he's doing it in other ways. He's not. He's catching two-yard passes.
And he's not making big plays.
Yeah, he's not making big plays.
So, I mean, I think that's fair. We talked a lot about that. And
yeah, the whole, well, Maroney's like the third best running back. Those running backs stink. D'Angelo Williams isn't doing anything. The only good running back to come out of there is Joseph Addai.
Reggie Bush and D'Angelo Williams are also busts.
Yes. And Maurice Jones-Drew's a good player, but he's not your every down. He's a guy who's going to be a split guy, catch passes,
right.
return.
So we were talking about Troy Brown a little bit. So one of the emailers, Mike, wanted to know, and he's very, very cordial. Hey, Andy, Paul, Tom, and Fred, you know, including us all in that. I like when they leave Fred out and stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, is Troy Brown still eligible to play this year, or has he been deactivated for the rest of the season? He's my favorite Patriot, and I would hate to see his career end on those terms. Also, could you give me one offensive player and one defensive player that you would like to see specifically step up his play in the next three games? My guys are Ben Watson and Ty Warren. I personally would like to see Watson become more of a threat in the passing game, especially in the red zone, where he has seemed to drop a lot of balls lately in key situations. With Warren, I want to see him be more of a force outside with Seymour ailing and ease the pressure off of Wilfork, who is a stud and is becoming, along with Asante and Vrabel, our most indispensable players on defense. Thanks, guys. Love the show. Keep up the good work. That's Mike in Pensacola.
Well, those
Florida.
Are two good choices, I think.
I think they are.
But I'll go two different ones, and I'm not going to pile on Maroney. So I'll say Dante Stallworth. I think he's been okay here, but I think he can do a little bit more. I think he's more talented than Jabbar Gaffney, for instance, and he could put up some bigger numbers coming down the stretch here.
Yeah.
And on defense, I'll say Adalys Thomas. He hasn't made the big play kind of either, like we're talking about Maroney. I'd like to see him get to the quarterback a little more.
You know, it's fun. I mean, I think your Adalys Thomas is dead on perfect. You'll laugh at me. I'll get cerebral on offense. Nick Kazier. I really don't think that the production guys, Stallworth, sure. I mean, but, you know, that's if he gets more, then Welker and Moss are probably going to get less. I mean, there's only so many passes you can complete. Brady's throwing the ball for 350 yards every game, you know, and four touchdowns. I think that production is pretty high. The only thing that occasionally concerns me is the amount of pressure that Brady is under, and I think Kazier among that front five has been the shakiest.
Yeah.
So I'll say him step up. Adalys Thomas, no, I don't have another one.
I think you're right.
Maybe Ellis Hobbs.
I think you're right with Kazier, and that kind of makes things interesting when we talk about the draft, because Mel Kiper talked to Andy, as I'm sure if he was here, he would tell you.
Anytime, Andy. Anytime. Just let me know.
Jake Long, the tackle from Michigan, Kiper believes is going to be a right tackle in the pros. So that would be kind of interesting if that's the way they went and kept light left tackle and put Jake Long there at right tackle.
But can you take a tackle that high in the draft?
I don't.
A right tackle, especially?
No, I don't. But I'm just saying, if that would be something, if he came here, I think a lot of people would just assume that he would go to left and they would move light over. But maybe they start him out at right. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with that second pick. I have no clue.
We have Josh in Akron. Been the first to step up with names for the PFW cult.
Okay.
He has a few suggestions. Irish Haters Unite, the Douche Canoe Society, Chicken Leg, and Schwings. So, yeah, he put some thought into it. I like it. We'll take it all into consideration. We're looking for
Schwings is good.
For more. So, absolutely. Anthony is next up. Was Bobby Hamilton playing for the Jets this year, or has he been just sitting at home all year? If he was with the Jets, it could be kind of like the Kareem Brown move a few weeks ago. He did not play for the Jets this year.
No.
I think he got released in the preseason,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, he's been out of football, I think, all year. So I don't think that one I thought was just kind of, what do you got left in the tank?
Right.
What kind of shape are you in? We'll check you out. We know you know the system. If something happens, be ready. We'll give you a call.
Right.
I
don't think that's going to be something you see over the next week. That's something I think if something happens to Seymour, like you said, down the road before the playoffs,
right.
We can plug you in quickly because you do know the system. You can get 5-8 snaps here. I agree with you on that.
Well, I don't know why I'm even reading this one because it says in the subject line, Tom is the best.
Who's this intelligent emailer?
I'm assuming that it's one of those ploys to get to get ready.
Ask about Chad Jackson.
It's from Andrew, and it says, I'm a first-time emailer, but obviously he's picked up on how to get his email read quickly. I just wanted you Bill Walshing DBs to know that Fred is the biggest Tom Brady Bill Walsher homer out there. Furthermore, I think Tom's nasally voice
editing on the
rocks. Tom's nasally voice rocks, and Andy is hilarious. Just wanted to know if you think the Pats will put up 70 on the Jets, and your thoughts on Spygate Part 2.
No, I do have a nasally voice. I don't think they'll put up 70. You know, I did a joke for the TV show that was going to be 66-0. I had a whole thing all planned out, except I wasn't there to execute it. But it's hard to – you need turnovers. You need interceptions for touchdowns. To score 70 points in a football game, you need – like I saw the Cowboys in that Super Bowl dominate, and they got those turnovers at the end and almost scored 59 points.
Yeah.
And that's what you're going to need. You're going to need like two or three defensive touchdowns. It's awful hard to score 70 points against anybody. Plus, you're throwing in a couple feet of snow possibly.
Can you be any better offensively than you were against Buffalo?
No.
And they ended up with 56, and seven of those were on defense.
Yeah.
They didn't get stopped all night offensively.
No.
You know, so
yeah, you
70
you
is a lot of
points. You
got to
assume the Jets are going to get a couple of first downs to keep the clock.
Got
to
give them credit. Got to give them credit. They'll get a first down or two.
I think if they can play like they normally play, meaning the weather isn't a huge factor, I think you're looking at a 48-6, something, you know, 40s to single digits probably in that area.
Another cult suggestion, PFW equals punks and flippin' wonkers. That's from Brian
in Aspen,
Colorado.
Think of something with mafia.
Yeah, the PFW mafia?
Yeah, I kind of like that.
We've been called that in the past, you know. But I'm not sure I really like that. You know, I'm going to go all PC and say, now why, because Tom and I are Italian, do we have to be associated with the mafia?
I just wanted to take a picture with a gun.
Oh, okay. I don't want, this is kind of like you with that chainsaw. I want to be aware of any time you have any kind of weaponry.
I'm not.
And I want to make sure I'm in another state.
I'm not turning on a chainsaw.
Okay. Let's see here. I don't know where we have. Quick question from Josh in Arlington, Virginia. Is the field already covered in anticipation of the snow? And the answer to that is no, because right now, as we speak, the Patriots are actually on the field. They are in the Gillette Stadium, and that's where they're conducting their practice. It has not begun snowing yet, as far as I know. Gary, do you know it has? Gary's giving me the sign that it has started snowing, which is perfect for what Bill wanted. I think.
Yeah, he wanted to.
He
kind
of wanted some of the elements to be part of the practice.
Now, and I don't know the answer to this, but when you don't have grass field, it's not that big of a deal when it snows, because can't you just plow it? And
well, that's like Buffalo always has that that sweeper with the brush, the John Deere, kind of like the Mark Henderson snowplow thing,
right.
Which wasn't really a snowplow. I mean, it was called the snowplow game, but it really wasn't a snowplow; it was a brush. And I think that's what they use to kind of clear it off. Now, I think they'll probably cover it at some point, but no, I don't think it's anywhere near as important when you have field turf as it was in the old days when it was just a mess out there. But we'll see how they handle that. Oh, I have to read this one. This is your buddy Dave who says, don't get me going on Tom. Evidently, it's not about that, though. He says, I also agree about Bill being a game plan guy. How many times has Brady been sacked? Maroney sits in and helps protect against the 90% blitzes.
Not really, because it's usually Falk in the game.
And that's way off anyway. I mean, Bill and Tom both talked at length about how infrequently they were blitzed against Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tom counted something like 12 or 13 blitzes in the whole game. They ran about 70 or 80 plays.
When you play a team like the Patriots, you have to blitz smart.
Pittsburgh, that's what they do. They blitz constantly. But Philadelphia didn't blitz them constantly. They blitzed them. Sure, they blitzed them. Baltimore didn't blitz them at all.
Every now and then you take a corner off the edge or something. But if you come in against the Patriots and just say, we're going to blitz, they'll kill you. They'll absolutely kill you.
He says, in week one, Bill's game plan was to run the ball. The Patriots ran the ball 37 times in week one. Maroney had 20 attempts for 72 yards.
That sucks.
I was going to say, that's
against a team that's given up 140
yards a game. I also agree that he always seems to go to the left or up the middle. I would like to see him go around the end more, get him in the open a little bit. How many attempts do you guys see this week? You know,
I don't know.
The last part of that is hard to say. I mean, on the surface, it would seem that he gets 20 carries again because of two things. One, the Jets, as you just mentioned, stink in stopping the run. And two, conventional wisdom tells you if there's going to be bad weather, you've got to kind of tone it back a little bit on the throttle and get a little bit more conservative. But I see no evidence of that.
I don't.
And until they do it, I'm going to expect them to throw the ball predominantly. I don't know how you feel.
Yeah, I do. And don't, as a fan, don't you think that when you have to keep emailing in and telling us why he isn't doing this and why, don't you think that's alarming? Like, you're making up so many things on how Maroney can be better. That's a problem. In my opinion, running backs take the ball and they run with it. That's all they do. You shouldn't have to put in these special systems and you got to do this and you got to do that. I'll give you a guy who was here towards the end, Corey Dillon. You know, he lost his speed and all that, and he was lazy, I thought, last year. But the guy could still get through a hole, and he was going at about 50% of what he used to go through. You see the ball handed off to Falk, he gets through the hole. He saw the ball handed off to Morris, he gets through the hole. So I just have a hard time believing it's all the offensive line's fault.
Well, the fans think that's because when Maroney's in the game, the other team knows
they're going
to run.
Which
I don't know why that you would ever think that, because they don't ever run him.
And let me ask you a question. When Adrian Peterson's in the game, what do they think they're going to do there?
As I said to the guy on WEI who said that to me on Sunday, gosh, I don't know how LT does it.
Yeah, you know, because they never hand him the ball.
Karen had a quick question. She wanted to know if they had extended the contract with Randy Moss. And the answer to that is no.
Not yet.
But I'm not going to be surprised if it happens, at some point. You know, maybe it doesn't happen until after the year, but I'm going to be surprised if he's not a part of the Patriots in 2008.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's worked too well to pull the plug after one season. Who do you think? A couple of draft-related questions here. Anthony says, who's the best cornerback in the draft this year? In case they don't re-sign Samuel, and I know you love your boy Kaysen.
Kaysen from Arizona. There's Malcolm Jenkins from Ohio State. You know, this is, like I say, it's way too early because you don't know who's coming out. From everything I've seen, it looks like Kaysen's going to be the first corner taken. I mean, he's a heck of a player. It just, you know, you're not going to take him at two, though. That's the thing. Like, it's such a hard position to pick because you're at two. Now, I've seen some things, and like I said, it's early with these mock drafts, but it seems to me that Laurinaitis is going in the top six. So maybe the Patriots just say, this is the best guy, we're taking him. You know, Laurinaitis at two. It'd be interesting to see, but they got to do something about that linebacker position. Even my father called me up and said, boy, those linebackers are slow. Every time they run a stretch play, they're nowhere to be found. So everyone can see it, and they got to upgrade that position.
Let's see here. Another draft question. I love the draft questions when you're 13 and 0. First of all, thanks for great shows this year. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you guys, which is very nice. Thank you, and back to you as well. Two things to comment on. First, I think it was somewhat peculiar that Harrison, in yesterday's locker room interview, talked about focusing on the Jets, take one game at a time, and then said lemon when asked about the Jets' current strength in quarterback. Later, he called the Jets quarterback a guy who could create something with his legs, and as far as I know, Clemens is not what you would describe as a scrambler. Yes, he can tuck the ball, but you shouldn't fear him running. It's funny because he absolutely did that. He did call him Lemon, and I thought he meant Clemens and just said Lemon, but I didn't hear the part about him saying about scrambling. So maybe he was indeed talking about Cleo Lemon and just kind of had his weeks confused.
Maybe. Yeah, it's but Bill did mention that Clemens can get out of the pocket too. Remember he said that? I've seen no I have seen nothing.
I haven't really seen it. He's kind of a drop-back passer.
That's what I thought.
He's not like completely immobile. He's not Bledsoe. He's not completely immobile, but
I
haven't really seen that. Yeah, I don't either. Second, regarding your discussion yesterday on the draft and a potential top three pick, common sense, at least it seems by a lot of Pats fans, is that you go with McFadden to replace a disappointing Maroney. However, Maroney runs 4.2 a carry and has only had limited opportunities in the offense as of right now, is built to spread the ball. I do not see the purpose for another first-round running back, this time with a top-three pick. So who do you go with? Clearly, Jake Long is intriguing. He's a run blocker and would eventually develop into a blindside protector for Brady, but who knows? Chris Long stops the run. He can rush. But even though Seymour appears to be hampered by his knee injury, do we really need another high-end defensive lineman? How about Buckeye Jr. Vernon Golston? A flat-out beast off the edge, kind of Merriman Ware type. I didn't know that. Is he?
He's good. Yeah, he's very good. Like I said, I saw him abuse Jake Long.
Oh, two years ago. You did say that yesterday. As a matter of fact.
I don't think he's considered that high of a pick right now.
Two players who clearly have been top five picks in 05. If you could foresee the future, I don't understand that. There is no way of telling what player Golston will develop into, but he tied Mike Vrabel's school record from 95 at Ohio State with 13 sacks and would bring the pressure that you need from the edge. He could be groomed by Vrabel and could be this versatile hybrid player you need to for the future. Possibilities of moving... Oh, I don't see this. Future, giving the Patriots the possibilities to move both Thomas and Vrabel inside. That's Jacob in Denmark. Jacob, I don't think Mike Vrabel will ever play inside again. I think he would sooner retire.
The problem taking a guy like Golston that high is he's a project now because he's got to learn the 3-4 outside scheme. And Bill's shown that he doesn't like to take those guys early in the draft. So now he's got the number 2 pick. And you're saying he's going to take a guy that he's got to kind of transform into a linebacker. I just don't see that happening. I think if they took a linebacker there, it would unquestionably be James Laurinaitis if he decides to come out.
Clinton Omaha, as long as we're on the 08 draft, is saying that we were talking about it a little bit yesterday. I know as it stands now, New England has the number 2 pick. What other picks do they have for the 08 draft? Second through sixth rounds, what slots have they got and traded away? We talked yesterday. We said they had 2 third-round picks because they got one from the Raiders. That's the one I forgot about. They lost their...
They made so many freaking
trades.
We'll
you know what? We'll try to get that up on maybe an Ask PFW and run that down, put it on the website. But I know they have 2 third-round picks for sure.
The reason I don't think they're going to draft McFadden is because of Sammy Morris. You still have Morris and Maroney next year, and Maroney has shown when he has another guy there, he's more productive. So I think they still go with that rotation.
Yeah, I
just don't think Maroney's going to be your 1,500-yard back ever.
I don't think it makes much sense to draft McFadden,
no,
and I love McFadden.
And I do, too.
I really love the guy.
I just can't see it happening.
I think he's so dynamic. I think he can really be special. I even love the way they use him, you know, in these trick formations as a quarterback and stuff like that, but I just don't think it's value.
No.
You know, I don't think any running back is value in the top five. I really don't.
Nope.
And, I don't know.
I can't see him going McFadden there. I really can't.
They could. All right, let's take a timeout from the emails and hit the phones. Anthony is in Naples, Florida.
Hey, guys.
Speaking of the PFW Mafia.
Yes, perfect timing. I got on the line, got put on hold, and you guys are talking draft.
Fred's not here today, so we actually go to the phone calls when people call in. That's the way it works.
Cool. But, you guys made a good point there. I honestly don't think they're going to go running back, especially that high, and go for McFadden. It just doesn't make sense money-wise. And it's too much of a high pick for that. Here's really why I called in, too, was that how do you feel? Because, you know, Briggs is officially going to be eligible to be a free agent. Do you honestly think they might pursue that?
No, he re-signed. He signed with the Bears.
Did he?
No. I think it was a one-year deal.
I thought he just agreed to the one-year
Yeah, but
year
I
thing.
Thought a couple of weeks ago he reached a long-term deal.
Oh, I missed that. If he
no,
did.
Actually, I think you're mistaken, Tom, because I heard it earlier this week.
I read it somewhere, unless I misunderstood it. Gary, can you check
can
on
you
that?
Can you effort that? Lance Briggs, Chicago? Just do a quick search and see
guys,
if you can.
Guys, I'm like 99.9%
right. I agree with you, Anthony. I thought that...
I thought I had read something.
I would have... I missed...
Here's the thing that you probably heard, was that last week was the incentive clause where if he reached 75% of playing time or how many games...
He couldn't be franchised?
He officially could become a free agent at the end of the year.
Okay, maybe that's what I saw then.
Yeah, that's why I'm, like, calling up on it, because I remember last year, you know, when he was involved in talks that, you know, he really didn't feel, like, have an interest in the scheme of, you know.
Yeah, he said he didn't want to play in the 3-4.
Yeah.
He actually made that comment at the Super Bowl when all the Boston writers were out there covering the Super Bowl, and that was one of the normal natural topics, was to get Lance Briggs, who was, you know, obviously a highly sought-after free agent, and figure out if he'd be interested in playing in the Patriots system, and he said flat out no. Now, obviously, I got 30 or 40 or so million reasons why you could change the guy's mind.
That's what I was just trying to figure out. You know, it's just like, or maybe do you think the Patriots just change up their scheme just a little bit to help please him, or is it just he's not that type of linebacker?
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, that's true. I know that's
crazy.
Now,
they may play 4-3 because that's the best thing for the Patriots to do, but they wouldn't do it to entice a guy to come here, and there's no way.
Yeah, and that's another thing, too. It's just, you know, how studded we are at the defensive line, and obviously Seymour's not, like you guys touched on it, he's not taking on two blockers, you know what I mean? So it's just like, why wouldn't we stud up the defensive line and go to that 4-3 and just maybe take advantage of that, you know?
No, that's true. That's true. There's a lot, you know, the draft, you know, like Tom says, we haven't really done a lot of our research yet. We will get to that in February, and then Tom and Andy will go to the combine. They'll come back with loads of stuff, loads of info, and we're going to have actually a little draft. We're going to touch on the draft a little bit in this coming issue of Patriots Football Weekly. Andy, as Tom pointed out,
he will gladly tell you.
He talked to Mel Kiper last week, and we'll have a little piece in the draft. But we're going to hit the draft hard again like we always do, and we're looking forward to having a top-flight pick to talk about so we can at least predict names that we never heard of, I mean, that everybody's heard of that won't be coming to the Patriots because no one ever gets it right.
And one last thing, Paul, this is actually for you. You know how you give the little nod when the game's on hand?
Yeah, I've been really bad with that this year, by the way.
You have?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you give the nod when the game was done and over with to the rest of the season?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Given the official nod?
I
okay,
am.
That's all
I am doing
all I
that, yes. I gave the nod this week on the double pass.
Awesome.
24-13, that was the game.
All right, cool. Have a good one, guys. Take it easy.
All right, Anthony. Thank you. You got anything on that Lance Briggs there, Gary?
The best I could find is a story in the Chicago Sun-Times that he will be a free agent after this year.
Okay, that's what Anthony said. Something. So I mean, I don't know for sure if you can talk the guy into changing his, changing his thoughts about the 3-4. It'd be interesting to see if he does that. Let's see here. Owen is in Belfast, and Andy's not here, so we don't have to take any obligatory shots at Northern Ireland. Let's see. Just wondering about Seymour's injury. Did the Pats ever specify exactly what it was? Do you think Seymour was making excuses for his poor play by saying he wasn't 100%? It must have been a pretty significant injury if he's still not 100% almost a year later. He injured it in the AFC Championship game, right? Let's start on that. I'm not exactly sure what the injury was. He had knee problems. There was problems between the team and Seymour in terms of how his care was treated. So I don't know if it was something that was just lingering. I don't think he got injured in the AFC Championship game. I think it was like a football player's injury that you're playing and playing and playing, and the season's over and you get it taken care of. Obviously, the recovery time has been much, much longer than anybody would have hoped. Do you think this, I think there's probably something to, he wants to get it out there that he's not 100% because he's not playing well.
Right.
I mean, I think that's normal. He's got an ego like anybody else. I think there's probably some truth to that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he hears what everybody's saying, and he's probably thinking, geez, I'm 70% right now. What do they want from me?
Well, the last time he talked to me, he wanted to know who Casale was, ripping him all the time. But, I said, I don't know Casale. I don't know.
I'm sure he doesn't know me either.
He continues and says, let's assume San Francisco is going to pick in the top five. The Pats want to trade down. What two first-round picks would be the equivalent in value of our top five pick? Do you think Belichick would trade the Pats pick with an offer that was less than the equivalent value? We talked about that a little bit yesterday.
Yeah.
In order to escape paying out so much guaranteed money to rookies and because no other team was offering enough. P.S. Tom rocks. Fred and Paul are cool. Andy is a wanker. Just kidding, Andy. You bring a lot of humor to the show, but you're still a little wanker. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. That's Owen in Belfast. We kind of disagreed on this yesterday, if I recall. I kind of think they would be willing to take a little bit less to get trade down there. Fred, I think, didn't.
Yeah,
I'm not saying they're going to get raped on the deal here. I mean, I just think, if you're talking maybe the other team benefits a little bit in that whole value chart system that everybody talks about. I don't think you're going to get someone to give you what the commensurate
right.
value.
The thing that's hard is that they'll have their pick of the entire draft except for probably one player. So if there's a guy that they like, they can take
they
whoever
can take
it is. And that's the tough thing. Now, obviously, they have to pay him number two money, which kind of hurts when you have Moss and everybody else. So we'll have to wait and see. It's a tough one.
We got a lot more emails to get to, and certainly you guys want to stay tuned for the second hour when we make fools of ourselves by going around the NFL and trying to show you just how little we know about this league. But right now we're going to take a quick break, be back with the emails in a moment.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots extra points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
How about Gary, huh? Back at PFW in Progress, Gary Gradecki very happy with himself with that little lead in there. What is that from?
Going back to Cali.
Excellent. I just have the smile on Tom's face. I don't know if it's because he's perusing the report, the Mitchell report right now, and all the names on there, or if it's because of his going back to Cali playing in the background.
It's the Mitchell report.
Okay. A lot of big names, and you know, I guess they're starting to circulate the internet now, and some of the websites have gotten a hold of the names. Albert Pujols, one of the names on the list, probably the biggest name on the list.
Huge.
Roger Clemens, you know, but that one's been out there for a while now. Roger Clemens, Andy Pettit, Albert Pujols, Nomar Gasiapara, Jason Varitek, Johnny Damon. So mix of local connections and national connections as well. And they told us there were going to be some big names on this list that were going to have repercussions. And, you know, Albert Pujols.
That's,
you know,
that's a big one for baseball.
For the current game right now, that's probably about as big a name. You know, A-Rod, you know, maybe the only one that would surpass him.
A hard-working Trot Nixon. Apparently wasn't as hardworking
if you didn't think,
as everyone
thought. I'm a huge Red Sox fan, as most people that listen to this show know. If you didn't think Trot Nixon was on something, you don't go from 27 home runs to 5 without unnatural reasons. And I'm not surprised by that at all. But we'll leave the baseball behind and we'll hit the phones because, Tom, your girl's on the phone.
How's it going, Chelsea?
You feeling better, Tom?
Yeah, I feel better. Still a little sick, but I'm okay.
Cali girl.
You didn't like
my song?
Oh,
I see it.
No, I like it.
I got my own entry.
Yeah, you
now.
You're like a wrestler. You have your own entrance.
Yeah, but I'm an idiot, and it went right over my head. I didn't know why Gary played that. I just thought it was for Tom. I didn't get it.
I got this on my iPod. Don't worry.
Well, this was for Cali girl, though.
Yeah.
Chelsea.
I got the connection.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm an idiot.
I'm the only caller that gets my own entrance song. That's great. That's
great.
That's right. Chelsea, Tom appreciated.
Actually, Salt in Orlando has one.
Oh, that's true. Salt in Orlando does have one. And I get that one.
Lucky has his own little.
Well, Tom appreciated the chicken soup that you sent him, you know, when he was not feeling well.
No, I
needed
some.
That was very nice of you to take care of your boy across the country. I'll tell you, I didn't know. I didn't think he was going to make it, Chelsea. He was looking awful.
Bad.
When he came in on Wednesday, as I said, I thought I was going to have to call the priest.
I was listening to Wednesdays earlier this morning, and I was like, he barely talked all day.
Yeah, I was hurting. I'm okay now. I'm back on the horse.
Where's everybody else?
Andy doesn't work in the snow, and Fred is up and about Gillette Stadium somewhere, walking fast with his hair messed up.
How's the weather? It's snowing a lot?
It is snowing, and evidently we're supposed to get about a foot around
here. We're going to get killed.
Is it going to stop?
Well, I would imagine
at some point.
I know you're from California and not used to snow, but it doesn't
not actually.
No, today it's supposed to be about a foot, and then I guess on the weekend, sometime on Saturday, late evening or at night, it's supposed to start again, and maybe possibilities of a major, major storm. Hey, speaking of a major storm.
Hey, guy.
That's the first time I didn't have a good segue for you. Anyway,
Cali,
put on your headphones. Cali girl's on
Cali
the phone.
Cali girl, what do you think about Eric's new girlfriend?
Eric's got a new girlfriend, Cali girl.
Eric?
He does.
Eric's got a girlfriend?
Yes. So.
Hold on a second. First of all, we've never met Cali girl. How are you?
Hi, Eric.
How are you?
Yeah, you're never there, so you never get to talk to me.
I'm here once
how
in a
you
while.
Doing?
When you do your picks.
What's
how
that?
How you doing?
When you do your picks.
Yeah.
And you come back with your little field report.
Saw your website. Very impressive.
God bless you.
Yes, God bless you.
Are
indeed.
Are you Googling me or something?
I know. What are you talking about?
No, the first time she called, you guys.
Hey, creep show.
I'm paying the girl a compliment.
Me and Tom are in works for a website.
You and Tom,
That's top secret right now, though.
Yeah, it's
not anymore. It isn't.
It's one of those porno sites that you can't get here. At that.
Strippers will be giving me a web address.
Yeah. Strippers is actually running it. We're all in cahoots.
So, what's going on? You're not working today? What's going on?
I'm not working.
Yeah, aren't you in California?
Yeah, I'm in California, and it's 9:40 in the morning.
Well, I guess they're all in the Indy hard time.
I guess
9:40. What would you at work for?
Like unconscionable hours.
There's no jobs there unless you want to work 40 hours a week. Now, aren't you a student?
Yes, I
go to
cosmetology school.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. My apologies. I thought you were part of the workforce.
Well, I do work. Jeez, give me some credit. I don't depend completely on my family.
What do you do?
I model.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy and Paul think I was lying.
I absolutely thought you were lying. Yeah,
That's why we pulled up the website, because these guys didn't believe it. So
you make good money doing that.
When I have jobs, yeah.
So, you got a job now?
Sort of. I'm waiting for a contract.
Oh, okay.
Excellent. Yeah,
how about I'll be your manager? I'll get you gigs, and I'll take 30-40%, whatever's customary.
What's the matter with you?
10%?
Wait, are you a manager or a pimp? 30 or 40?
I didn't tell her what kind of jobs yet.
Okay.
Stay away from
Tom. I was on Fox looking at a blog, and they said that because your favorite word, douchebag, they called some anti-patriot fan was calling Bill Belichick a douchebagosaurus rex, and I thought it was really funny. And you guys were talking about his jacket yesterday. He looked like a blue Michelin man.
Yeah, he had a
in that blue puffy jacket.
He had a bad coat on at the game against Pittsburgh.
Like he couldn't even reach his pockets.
Yeah, that's not a good look for him.
So what do you think about the game this week, Cali Girl?
Oh, I'm so excited. I can't wait. And I love that, well, how you're saying that. You don't know if Belichick really hates Mangini, but I hope he does, and I hope the score is like 63-0. And
I wouldn't count on that, honestly. I'm not getting that feeling about this game. I think it's going to be a lot closer than everyone thinks.
You taking the points?
Just want them
I didn't say that. I'm just saying.
Jets because it's more fun. And I hate them now because
I hate the Jets. I have to agree with you on that. I hate the Jets.
I hate the Jets and Mangini. Ugh. They keep showing his picture everywhere. It's disturbing.
No modeling jobs for Eric Mangini, huh, Cali?
He's the head coach of the Jets, sweetheart.
Mangini. That's my favorite one. Mangenius. When they. The clip.
You're really cracking yourself up today.
I don't know. I woke up and I was in such a good mood today. So.
Well, see, that's the problem. You just woke up.
Well, not that.
Just woke up and put on PFW in progress. And
now, Caligo, you're originally from New England, is that right?
Yeah, Worcester, Massachusetts.
Worcester. All right.
Yep. Mom, too.
When did you go out to Cali?
When I was like 7.
Oh, okay.
So I've been here most of my life.
Oh, okay.
But, you know.
Staying true to the roots, though. That's good.
Yep. That's staying true. But you guys are talking about baseball, and I really hate baseball, so I had no clue what you guys were talking about earlier.
Well, it's kind of important. There's a list of about 80 players that took steroids. And so
half of which are major names.
Yeah, so it's kind of a big deal.
Like someone was tattletaling or something?
No,
it's just an investigation that baseball conducted. And
wow.
They found
a lot
of...
Are they all going to get fired?
Well, I don't know about that, but...
Oh.
I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen, but I don't think that any of them actually failed tests, so I'm not sure they can get suspended for it. But, who knows?
I don't know. Baseball's boring.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Cali Girl, do you like the snow?
Well, I went to Big Bear, which is like the closest to the mountains we have out here.
Why do you keep asking her questions?
Because I've never talked to her before.
Okay.
Yes. You guys talked to her all the time.
Why don't you call her out there?
This isn't a date. Jesus, Eric. Wow.
Now you just blow her up?
Yeah, now Cali Girl got blown up.
I was worried about those baseball players getting fired.
I was hoping you were going to blow Eric up.
I think I thought he was blowing me up.
Well, I mean, Eric was going, what color are your eyes? And
I was a little uncomfortable. I mean, we kind of flirt and stuff, and, we make fools of ourselves because we have no ability whatsoever to flirt anymore. But
apparently Eric doesn't
either. You were really doing it.
You guys are married.
So?
You don't need any ability to flirt.
I'm not a fanatic about it, Eric.
Yeah, I know.
Cali Girl, send me some of those modeling pictures. I'll put them to good use.
Anyway, do you want to know what happened in practice or what? Yeah, I know.
Yes, I do want to know what happened in practice.
We were talking in during the press conference, a lot of people were asking Bill about the weather and the conditions and what that was going to be like, and so he moved practice up to try to get the players out early.
Right.
If you don't think by now that this team is destined for something, I mean, we went out to practice early.
As soon as they got out there, it started snowing.
As soon as they got out there, the flakes started falling.
That's because Bill made the call and said, listen, this is what time we're going to be on the
and
field.
And we want
to
practice
outside.
This is what time
you need to have it start.
Yep. But by the time our 15-20 minute allotment was up, There was accumulation on the ground. It was coming down like a snow globe. I mean, it was perfect. He couldn't have asked for anything better to get ready for this Sunday's game with those conditions.
So what you're telling me is Andy Hart right now is laughing hysterically at us.
Yeah.
Those idiots,
I'm going home early.
Those idiots are actually on that stupid radio show right now, and it's going to take them 4 hours to drive home.
Yep.
That's going to take
Tom.
Me 10
It'll
minutes.
It'll take Tom 10 minutes. But.
Well, yeah.
That one side street could be a little slippery.
Yeah, so there's it's a wintry scene out there. They're practicing. Two missing players. Nothing too major to get worked up about, but Billy Yates and Mike Wright were not seen.
And Mike Wright did not play in the second half the other night. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if maybe he is banged up, and that's why they're looking at defensive linemen.
Possibility. They've not made it official, but there was a new player out at practice today. We talked about it a little bit in the locker room today.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Okay, he was out at practice taking part. It was an uppers practice.
Could you tell if he was a practice squad? Did you talk to anybody? Is he a practice squad guy, or is he an active roster
guy? I did try to talk to someone about that, and I got the there has been no official transaction made, so they couldn't confirm or deny anything.
Just ask
I wanted
Reese.
To ask them. I don't do that. You know that. But he was out there.
Wait, but he probably knows.
He might know.
Don't
but,
talk
I mean,
to the PR department. They don't know anything around here.
They get half their information from Mike.
So anyway, they were in uppers only. Seven players had black shirts.
Ray Ventrone was one of them.
Ray Ventrone was one of them. You're correct.
So Ryan O'Callaghan.
Ryan O'Callaghan was another. The other five were Kelly Washington.
Dan Clark.
Excuse me. Matt Cassel. Chad Jackson. Brandon Merriweather. Chad Brown and Tim Mixon.
Well, it's nice to see them.
Everybody.
I was gonna say that it's nice to see they're putting some of those draft picks to use.
Yeah,
Chad Jackson,
Brandon. Chad
Brown
still on the team?
Yeah,
I saw him walk through yesterday.
A couple of other interesting notes.
There was no foul on the play. It was not hold. The defender was just overpowered.
You get me with that one every time.
We talk about chemistry with this team every week. During stretching period, when the snow started to accumulate a little bit, Merriweather, the rookie, was going around playfully tackling some of his fellow DBs, sort of, you know.
Now, when you say DBs, you're talking about defensive backs and not the way we refer to DBs on this show, right?
Correct. Defensive backs, not Tom's favorite.
I just wanted to make sure.
No, you're right.
Kelly girl's throwing it around there like
you're right, yeah. Well, I mean, she has a right to, though. Kickoff return team was one of the things they worked on. Someone added to the mix who was doing it last year, Lawrence Maroney. Among Chad Jackson, Kevin Falk, Welker.
No Hobbs?
And Hobbs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
Hobbs
five,
claims,
but
Hobbs claims he was just getting a rest last week because of a short week, by the way.
Oh, could have been.
We'll see.
But I will say this, though.
But Maroney was in.
Might as well get Maroney back. Maroney doesn't run any other way.
If Maroney starts returning kicks, that's going to go to really help my argument, because starting running backs who are valuable in this league don't return kicks.
Right.
They just don't.
And to his credit, though, when he did do it last year,
he's good at it.
But I thought he was very good at it.
But I'm just saying, you don't want your starting running
back
to take that extra pounding and risk of injury.
Right. And, of course, two of their main running backs are doing it now, returning kicks. You got Falk and Maroney back there, at least today, in practice. So.
Shows how much they care about the running game.
Yeah.
And they don't want Welker back there, because
back there.
Oh,
he was
back
there,
too.
You
don't want him doing it.
All
save three. Him.
Yeah. So that's what they worked on during the time we were out there. And it's snowing like gangbusters. There's at least 2 inches out there
now.
Yeah.
I got to get out of here.
You live 5 minutes away.
I
you
don't
can
like
walk
driving
home.
In the snow.
Oh, please.
He is
You'll
unbelievable. He'll melt out.
At least you came in today. I give you credit for that. You're not pulling a...
My driveway is like a mountain. I'm going to have to shovel it before I can drive up.
All right, Gary gave me this clip here from Bill Simmons' column on ESPN.com, and I thought it was interesting because we were talking a lot about the draft. Eric, we were talking about potential directions they could go if they actually had the pick.
Mm-hmm.
Just to show you how much of a crapshoot really it all is, I guess Bill did some research here. He says, of the 20 players selected in the top four of the NFL draft from 1998 to 2002, a whopping 10 of them are already out of the league. 98 to 2002.
Some of them would be those.
Top four picks.
I'm going to guess some of those were from the quarterback class of Donovan McNabb in 99. Am
yes.
I correct?
Including three number ones,
mm-hmm.
Courtney Brown, Michael Vick,
yep.
and Tim Couch. Now, obviously, Vick
is
out of the league
right.
for different reasons. Three number twos, Charles Rogers, LeVar Arrington, Ryan Leaf. Two number threes, Andre Wadsworth and Achilles Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And two number fours, Peter Warwick and Mike Williams.
So of those, there's two quarterbacks. It would be Couch and Smith would be in that quarterback class that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Three more top four picks from that era, David Carr, Joey Harrington, and Gerard Warren, were major disappointments and should be joining them soon. Even stranger, the other seven top four picks ended up succeeding and making a ton of money for themselves. Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, Donovan McNabb, Edgerrin James, Leonard Davis, Justin Smith, and Julius Peppers. Can you get any more hit or miss than that? And how could a top four pick be a hit or miss for five solid years? I just thought that was crazy. Bill's right. I mean, it's
50-50.
Yeah, I mean, even Tom doesn't get them all right. You know, when he's breaking down the draft picks, mm-hmm. you know.
I missed one or two.
Right. So I thought that was interesting. Bill did a good job of doing research, which usually he doesn't do.
Well,
I thought I would point it out. Gary printed it out for us. I thought that was interesting.
That is good stuff. I mean, basically what it's saying is that they have no better clue than we do when we're speculating on these things.
Here's an email that I have to get to from Josh in Akron, and the subject is warm wipes. How can I not read that?
Oh, God.
I don't know if you guys have seen it, but Chris Hansen is at the top of the the top punter in the AFC and Pro Bowl balloting. I want to ask Fred why he didn't publish my paper, Play Unfair Fairly, in PFW. Did you know I would have to get extra? Would have gotten extra credit in English if that graced the page? I don't blame you. It did suck. I finished it in about a week. I just needed something to get a grade.
What is this?
I don't even know what he's talking about.
Idea.
I would get you guys lunch one day, but being a broke college student, the only thing I think I could afford is frozen pizza or the value member at Burger King. Burger King always would work, by the way, for fat guys like me.
Yeah, and I can eat the...
Yeah, you would take the bread off because you're on Atkins
now. I'm off
bread. By the way, Eric, you know he's off bread. He's on Atkins.
I'm off bread.
What the hell's the matter with you?
It's been at least 12 or 13 hours now.
I started it last night at 5 o'clock.
The Atkins diet.
I'm off bread.
That's foolish, Tom. What are you
doing? I'm off bread.
It's not going to work.
I bet
you it
works.
It's not going to work. I'm telling you right now.
You got any amount of money, I bet you it works.
We're not betting on it, but I'm telling you it's not going to work.
Anybody who uses Atkins, it works.
It does not.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
See, I think
not for everybody who does.
See, I think all of those diets work, but when you get off of them, you immediately lose. You put the weight right back on.
Not me, because I'm going to start taking Ephedrine.
Tom, you're Italian.
That's the whole point. I'm going to lose the weight, then start taking Ephedrine to keep it off. That's how it works.
You're Italian. This is sacrilege that you're not going to eat bread.
I'm off bread.
Oh,
forget it.
Stop it. Stop it. This isn't going to last more than
bread.
This isn't going to last more than a week.
We'll see.
All right. Let's see. We still have a lot of passionate Lawrence Maroney defenses here. So TG and the rat-infested Joyzy.
TG.
Hey, Tom, what should I tell people to send you for lunch then?
You can still send them the sub. I'll just eat the meat and give the
bread
to little Gary.
Okay, we need to stop bashing Maroney and come up with a solution. What do you think? What do you do with him? Kickoff return screens? I don't know. That's why I asked you guys. You seem to have all the answers. Well, at least Tom and Andy. Paul is too busy being PC, and Son of Kraft is as biased as a Patriots fan voting for Eugene Wilson for the Pro Bowl. I like the shot at Kraft, but I don't really get the PC thing with me.
Son of Kraft.
Anyway, how about the weather factor? Screw you guys. I'll just watch Acro Weather Forecast. That babe could tell me it's going to snow in July, and I'll believe her.
Well, it depends on what they think of Maroney. If they don't think he's going to be a dominant back and they want to use him as a kick returner and other things, I think he can help the team.
Because
I think in the open field, when he gets a head start,
yes.
I think he's very good. He's hard to tackle. He's got a good stiff arm.
Yep, he does have a good stiff arm.
It's just if he could ever learn to get by that first line of defense, he'd be a heck of a running back.
And you know what? What I saw today in practice, if that ends up happening in the game, it kind of tells me that they're trying to find a way to get him to involved in the game. They don't want him to, you know, just languish on the sidelines there. So,
because you're going to lose him. Like mentally,
none
of us think mentally he's as strong as a Teddy Bruschi or Rodney Harrison. Let's just say
not
the way
at this
it
point
is.
At least.
So you have to worry about losing the kid.
Yeah,
and I think Bill knows that, and he's trying to get him involved.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I want to take one quick email here before we take another break.
Break.
Well, Chris in the Bronx, he's our favorite emailer because
he's saying take a break every 2 minutes around here.
Well, he told me to take a break. What do you want me to do?
Feast or famine. When Fred's here, there are no breaks.
Hi, Paul and Tom. Two quick GM type questions. Out of Darren McFadden and Dontrell Savage, or a later pick,
I love Savage.
Who would be a good choice for running back next year? Would you consider trading Maroney?
Dontrell Savage is my guy. Like Andy, we both like the Mendenhall from Illinois.
I like Mendenhall a lot. I don't know as much about Savage.
I love Savage. I love him. He's got that balance. He's always getting yards, extra yards. He plays for Oklahoma State, so a lot of people probably haven't seen him yet. But when you get the tape of him, Paul, when he comes out, it's pretty impressive. So
saw him play once, and that was part of the Oklahoma game, I think. I think that was the Oklahoma. Maybe it wasn't. I thought it was the Oklahoma game, but I might be confusing it with another one. But I don't know a lot about him.
I believe he's a junior, too, so it'll have to see if he comes out.
This Steelers, I like this one. This might be some food for thought. This Steelers-related question was for Andy, but I'm interested in your opinions. Name three Steelers starters you would want to trade for three Pat starters at the same positions.
Three Steelers starters. Trading straight up with Pats.
Trying to think.
Polamalu's not a bad pick.
You'd have to give up somebody.
Trade Sanders, and I'm not sure I'd want to do it.
I don't know.
I mean, maybe you could do it for Rodney, you know, under the premise that Rodney's
older.
You know, he's at the end of the
maybe.
I would take probably Foote, the inside linebacker.
Yep. How about Harrison? James Harrison.
I don't know, because you'd have to trade Vrabel or Thomas.
Right.
Willie Parker.
Yeah.
There you go. I would take Willie Parker. I would take maybe one of the corners over Hobbs.
Ike Taylor, probably.
You know, maybe. But I think you're kind of 6-1, half dozen the other there. I don't think a lot of the Steelers' cornerbacks, to be honest.
I think Bill could do a lot with Foote. I think he's been a good player.
One of their offensive linemen. Yeah. Might, you know, maybe they're. Although when I saw a Willie Colon, not on Sunday,
no.
for Nick Cashier, but I don't know.
You could do this with any team, and I don't think you're going to get a large response.
Well, could you do this? He says now try the same for the Jets. Darrell Revis for Hobbs.
Definitely. Because
David Harris, maybe.
Kerry Rhodes.
You know, for Brewski.
Kerry Rhodes.
Although, did you get the same impression that I got today he didn't really like David Harris?
One of two things. Either he hated David Harris, or he loved him and really wanted him, and the Jets took him.
Yeah.
So he's either, there's no middle ground with David Harris. They either loved him or hated him.
Yep.
No, it's an interesting one. It's, you know, it's hard to say exactly, but, you know. The Jets' best players, in my opinion, like Nick Mangold, I wouldn't trade him for Cope.
Right.
I think Mangold is excellent, but I think the Patriots are more than happy with Cope.
What about Rhodes?
I think Kellen Clemens for Brady, now that I think of it.
It's not bad. Clemens is younger,
he's got
in the pocket.
He's got upside. Yeah. The upside of Clemens is great, and he's not on that list like Roger Clemens is. Anyway.
Thomas Jones.
That we know of yet.
All right, we can take a break, because here's Fred.
There was no foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots extra points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today.
Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the Tasty Snack Wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle Barbecue, Honey Mustard, and Ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac-A-Tac sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac-A-Tac sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! 3-2, Taylor Twellman!
Wear what the pros wear, exclusively from the Revolution Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your official New England Revolution apparel. The Revolution Pro Shop features apparel made by Adidas, the official apparel provider of the MLS. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats and jackets. Give your jersey a kick by having the Pro Shop customize it with the name and number of your favorite player or the name and number of your choice. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Can't get to the stadium? The Revolution Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
All right, Dean Martin singing about snow, and it is snowing here at Gillette Stadium. Coming down, they're saying 1 to 3 inches per hour.
Beautiful.
Tom, you got a shovel?
I got to get out of here, yeah.
Just so you know, let's hurry this up. I'm out of here after this show.
We'll be out of here.
Yeah, I have a shovel. I don't have a snowblower. That's the problem.
I've been making fun of Andy all day. But
guy like you, just shovel
it
up.
Let me ask you a question, Fred. What do you have?
A shovel.
You don't have a snowblower?
You don't have a snowblower?
Hell no.
Whoa.
Oh, you have,
a guy. Do you have a guy who plows you every show?
I do all my walks.
Oh,
he just does.
How much does that cost?
I knew it.
$30.
A shot?
Yeah.
Can you pay by the storm?
Name and number? By the storm. What?
Can you give me his name and number?
Sure.
Okay.
I got a snowblower.
He's right out of rent.
It's worth getting, Tom. Huh? Getting a snowblower is worth it.
Do you have $1,000 that I could borrow? Give me the guy's name and number. I'll pay $30 a storm.
Right.
I'm sorry, Eric. I just don't have the money to get one.
I know.
Say that like I'm against getting a snowblower. Of course, I could have got one for free from Michelle if I was Maura. What a moot she is.
Maura got a free snowblower from Michelle?
Michelle's father had to move out of his house
Stinking
and
mooch.
Had a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh,
and
man, what
Michelle
my chop liver?
She told everybody.
Except me.
Oh, God. You know, saying all these things that he had to get rid of, and one of them was a snowblower. And Tom's like, what are you talking about now?
I would have jumped all over that thing.
Maura and Josh took it.
Wow.
Wow.
They have a house?
They just bought a house.
Yeah. You really need to learn your employees a little bit better.
I don't.
You do.
I'd rather not. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. What are you guys talking about?
You know what Chris Ferrer is doing now? He's running over Maura. Now he's ripping you.
Yeah.
Right.
Stinking.
Meow.
What are you guys talking about?
Well, a lot of draft talk today, Fred. Believe it or not.
Yeah. Okay.
Draft talk. And
I see this stuff about cult. What's cult?
Oh, we were trying to come up with our a PFW.
I'm forming
cult.
A cult.
We're trying to form a cult.
A cult.
We were soliciting names.
Okay.
You know, like a cult following
for us.
For us. For PFW.
Okay.
You know, like have our own cult.
And you want a name for it?
Yeah.
Like the Branch Davidians kind of?
Like stuff they like had that, a name? Yeah. And I said,
like
hopefully this will end up a little bit better than Jimmy Jones.
Yes.
We're not advocating any death.
I know one thing. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid first. I know how that goes.
First at all.
I think it should be like the DBs or the douchebags or something like that.
That was one of the suggestions.
Yeah. You know, something like
can
that.
Can we get like leather jackets and wall slick our hair back? And
well, some of us can't do that,
yeah, that's true.
Can we snap our fingers when we walk down the street?
The T-Birds.
What do you got here, Gary?
The Jets and the Sharks.
Dan the Man in Fairfax. How about the Orange Firewater Mafia? The Free Lunch Club. Now that works. The Free Lunch Club.
That
one
that's
is good.
Good. That's good.
The Kickers Wives Kidnappers, or KWKs for short.
Too complicated. I like Free Lunch Club.
I like Free Lunch Club. That might
work.
Be the leader in the clubhouse.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, you got club in there. How about Free Lunch Cult? Sounds meaner.
Cult?
They Mafia. Never end with cult. It wasn't the... I mean,
the Free Lunch Club? I mean...
Yeah, because they don't...
sound like a bunch of pansies.
They don't think they're a cult.
The Free Lunchers.
They think everybody else is in a cult.
Exactly.
How about the Moochers?
That would work.
Yeah. That's good.
Although we obviously didn't do a very good job of it today.
No. All right.
I'm off bread, Fred. I'm off bread.
Oh, by the way, I meant to tell you that.
He's
too,
on this
Fred.
Foolish Atkins diet.
Like, they were a good band.
Two things.
A little soft rock.
Two things that you're going to be upset
like
with.
Ready?
One. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
You know what that means?
I almost got shivers down my spine.
Two things that are going to upset you today.
Yeah.
One is that Tom. Yeah, that means the transcript is ready, by the way. But Tom has been on Atkins for 12 or 13
hours
now.
It's not going to last. It's not going to last. I'm telling you right
now.
Really? I'm off bread.
You're Italian. You can't not
be... Well, it's not just bread. It's all carbohydrates.
Well, most carbs.
You can't do most carbs on Atkins.
I'm a diabetic.
You can either, Tom, you're either doing it or you don't. So that's not a good thing for you then.
And you're Italian, so eat the bread.
It's not
going to
work.
I have diabetes. When my blood sugar goes low, I have juice. I screw Atkins, but that's...
That's the wrong diet for you then.
I'm okay.
Well, here's what I wanted to really tell you.
Why do you need to lose weight?
I'm dropping 15 pounds.
That's really? not a bad idea, but doing it the Atkins way is a bad idea. You should be eating bread.
That's called me fat over here.
I was going to say, I think he just said you really need to lose some weight. I only imagine what he says about me. Because if you need to lose weight, then I need to lose a leg.
I've taken these pills. The side effect is weight gain. I got to do something drastic.
Anyway, Fred, this is going to really disappoint you, but we've been talking about the tabs on the ESPN News. And how giddy you've been over the fact that the Patriots have their own.
Right.
It's been replaced by Mitchell.
Any port in the storm for ESPN.
Yeah, but that'll be gone tomorrow. It'll be back to Patriots.
Okay. Pursuit of Perfection returns tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, I just, you know, I don't want you to cry yourself to sleep on your giant pillow.
The NFL Network has their own thing now called the Path to Perfection, the Patriots.
Yeah, I saw that.
So it's very good. I like
wow.
it.
Wow. That's really original. Yeah, one has Pursuit of Perfection and the other one went with Path.
That's right. The point is that they're all finally coming around.
Are you coming around and thinking the Super Bowl might be watched by a few people?
Yeah, I saw someone the other day saying that they thought that this would be the most, you know, if the Patriots are in it against the Cowboys or...
Yeah, you saw me last month saying it to you and you disagreed.
That was, matter of fact, that was one of our typical arguments where it went on for days and meant nothing, but... The only thing wrong with it was that I wasn't involved, because usually I'm in those stupid arguments with you.
That's the most shocked I've ever been when Fred didn't think an undefeated Patriots team against the Cowboys would be the most
Cowboys
watched
team.
Super Bowl
Absolutely.
Of all time.
My gut
Absolutely.
Just says that there's a certain base of fans that are just going to be sick of the Patriots.
But don't you get the hypocrisy in your thinking? Those people want
to
watch the Patriots lose.
They might.
Lose.
And if that's true, you're going to be absolutely right. It's going to be the most watched ever.
Plus,
I'm watching, they're just so sick of it that I'm thinking they're going to do something else.
If both teams run the table, you're going to have one team with no losses and one team with one loss in the
Patriots.
Super Bowl. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
For me as a kid.
T.O. Moss,
right.
Brady, Romo.
As a kid growing up, the 70s were full of Super Bowls between two teams that I absolutely despised. I watched every one.
Nothing's different now.
No, I'm talking about Dallas and Pittsburgh. I hated
I despised the 49ers, and I watched every time to see if they could lose.
Miami-San Francisco in 84. I mean, now there's two teams. I'm rooting for a double bus crash on the way to the field.
Well,
but I'm watching.
I just think. this year, you know.
What? I don't want anybody to hate.
People hate us for all different reasons. Some hate us because we're good. Others hate us because we've cheated or whatever. Fred, and I think there's going to be a portion of people that are going to say, screw it. I'm not watching.
Again, with the hypocrisy here, with the thinking. Most watched Sunday afternoon game ever, Patriots this year. Most watched Monday night football game ever,
I know.
Patriots.
Most watched cable show ever.
I know.
Of any
guest.
Yes. Was that Monday night game?
I understand. And
this is a huge story.
Like, I'm not saying you could be right. I'm just saying it's my gut.
But like my mother, my mother doesn't care about the St. Louis Cardinals
and
playing the part of Andy Hart, Paul Perillo.
Yeah. My mother doesn't care about the St. Louis Cardinals, but when Mark McGwire was doing that home run thing, everybody cared. So even people who don't care about the Patriots in football, this is a historic thing that they're on. So it attracts other people.
I'm saying
it does, because that McGwire thing is a good example. That takes in the you know, people like Cali Girl just called. She says she hates baseball. But people that didn't like baseball were still interested in that.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
But unfortunately for her, McGwire was fired, so.
Right. Yeah, she said all these players going to get fired.
On the phone is Greg Gary in Waltham. Greg, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. It's snowing hard over in Waltham.
It is. I'm actually just driving home from work right now.
Ooh, are you on the south?
I was
going to
say, good thinking. Why don't you drink some coffee and light up a cigarette, too?
Oh, seriously, be careful. Or put us on speaker or something.
Yeah. Well, just figured I'd give a call since I can't listen to you guys live right now, being in the car and all. Hey, I know it might be a little bit early to talk about free agency and stuff, but I saw something the other day that, I think it was on ESPN, but they were saying that Bob Sanders is going to be a free agent.
There's a couple
what
guys
think
that...
If the Patriots would go after him and if he'd really want to play for Bill Belichick.
Well, I read that there's two keen guys on the Colts that they have to decide what to do with. Bob Sanders and one other.
Dan Klecko.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. I don't think
Bob Sanders isn't going anywhere.
I don't think there's any chance
that
the Colts
let him go. Well, they can franchise one of them.
But I don't think
Bob Sanders isn't going anywhere.
I don't think there's any chance they let him go.
No, I wouldn't. No way. He's the heart of that defense.
Was it Wayne?
Might have been Reggie Wayne.
No, Wayne signed the deal.
He just signed a
big
deal.
Maybe it was Harrison. I'm not sure.
They haven't lost, in my opinion, a guy of substance since they got good. They really haven't. And the only one that could even come close is Edgerrin James, and I think he was done when they lost him. So I don't see it. Yeah. I don't see them not re-signing Bob Sanders. Unless, you know, some health thing comes up between now and the end of the year. He's missed, you know, half the games, basically.
Right.
That he's been eligible to play, but I don't see it happening.
I don't either. I mean, he would be priority number one.
Okay, but what about Bob Sanders wanting to re-sign with the Colts? I mean, let's say the Patriots beat the Colts in the AFC Championship game.
It's not like he's with the Raiders or anything. That's a team that, you know, he's going to have success in the future with. So I don't see him wanting out of that. You know, they're getting a new stadium next year.
If they go
things
14,
are looking up.
If they go 14-2 and lose to the Patriots, who went 16-0, I mean, all he has to do is turn around. Well, last year, you know, we were right there with them. We beat them,
and he might. Yeah. He might.
Maybe next year we can beat him again.
We're off.
Hello,
we're off.
Well, just figured I'd throw the question
out there. I can't hear
anything. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Okay,
I can
be
hear
careful.
You.
Oh, okay, I can't hear anything. But he might look at the Patriots defense and say, well, a lot of these guys are going to be gone. You know, if they go 19-0 and they lose some guys, you might think it's better to stay with the Colts because they got a younger defense. I just don't think he's going anywhere.
And Fred has compared them to the 85 Bears.
Right.
So,
not quite, but different type of defense.
They're awfully fast.
They are. They're fast. They're smart. They're sure.
Imagine
tacklers.
If they had Albert Haynesworth.
They're strong. They're explosive.
If they had Albert Haynesworth, how would you consider that defense? You would put him up there with the 85 Bears.
I think they would be pretty productive.
Pretty productive.
Yeah. You know? What's going on?
I don't know. We having issues over there.
Everyone's looking into Gary. Gary's on the phone. I don't know who he's talking to.
Well, be careful driving out there, Greg, if you're still with us.
No, he's still with us.
Well, the reason,
on the
line.
The reason I laughed, because I thought he actually did get in a car accident. I didn't know that was a soundbite. I thought it was pretty funny.
There was a politician that was running for governor in Massachusetts, or Senator Jack E. Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
And he was doing
Kennedy.
He was doing a phone interview with the Imus show one morning.
Mm-hmm. And he got in an accident?
Got into an accident while
Francona did. That happened to Francona on EEI.
Right?
He was in the middle of talking, and all of a sudden someone hit him from behind.
Wow.
Tom can't control himself. He's so giddy now.
Did he just miss his mouth when he just can't lick that drinking problem?
Hey, Brian wants to know, I remember when Gillette Stadium was being built that the Boston Globe had run a lot of elaborate graphics showing high-tech irrigation and drainage systems that were installed for the grass playing surface. I think there was a field heating system installed, too, but I can't be sure about that. Do you know if there was any heat installed or if anything was put in when they switched to the new field turf? I don't think they took it out. There was a heating piping system, hot water-based type thing underneath the field. I don't think they took it out. I mean, we all saw the process. I don't remember any pipes. I don't think they dug down that deep.
No, they had to dig down a little bit because they had to put the extra layers, but I don't think they removed anything that was already there.
No.
I'll say it didn't seem to
work. Didn't work that well.
I didn't want to be the one to say it.
Here's what happened.
I'm glad you did.
You could tell it worked on the south right corner. If you're looking at it from the press box, that like quadrant it would work, but the hot water didn't get all the way through.
Yeah, whatever
the rest of the
whatever
field.
Way it was designed, it didn't really seem to be all
it's
that
like
effective.
Those big houses where one had like the far end of the house never really got that warm. That's the way the field was with that heating system.
It's kind of like my house with the two kids rooms.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the way you want it. That's the way you want it. Be a little chilly in an 8-month-old baby's room.
Sure,
why not?
So no, they kept that in. The irrigation, I would, you know, it's still, that's not a problem. No.
That's not a problem.
No, irrigation, not a problem. What else?
I don't know. You have the emails.
How was Belichick today?
Okay.
He was, walked in smiling again.
What kind of locker room do they have now in New England?
I just saw Chris Berman.
He's here.
Yeah, he's here today. Yeah.
What's he doing here?
Roaming around, kissing butt as usual.
But this is a CBS game, right?
Well, he's probably doing something for his stupid 2-minute drill that people still watch.
Fred, if you missed before, the only news at practice was they were outside.
Again with this?
No, because Fred likes the practice up
there. I want to know.
They were outside.
Well, listen to the show.
They were they had signed a new player, although they haven't made it official yet, a tight end.
Dan Fico.
Lawrence Maroney was part of the rotation for kick
really
returns.
Really does bring the show down to a morass, doesn't he?
Okay, good. All right, that's good stuff. How was the locker room?
I'm not
going
to allow you locker to drag this program short. Into a morass.
Because they had practice a little bit earlier, they didn't make access time a little bit earlier.
Oh, okay.
So
it was like a Friday.
Instead
where...
of being in there until 55, the players were all out of there by about 35.
Right.
So that was about it.
So that was it. So, and yesterday's press conferences, Bill Belichick obviously was having nothing to do with answering any questions about Spygate. But Mangini kind of revealed a little bit that, you know, he did confirm that there was a situation last year where they thought they had permission and then they were told not to film from the mezzanine area. And he said that was fine. You know, it's their stadium and they can do what they want. Right. I think it's a lot to do about nothing. But
Dallas Clark is the other free agent, thanks to
Dallas
Todd.
Dallas Clark.
Yes.
I knew there was a guy on the offensive side.
I would say he isn't going anywhere either.
So they're going to sign both.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
Think they'll have to franchise one?
Yeah, they could. They might do what they did this year and franchise one until they can work out a long-term deal like they did with Freeney.
Right. Okay. Interesting.
But I agree with your take on the on this aspect because it doesn't seem to me that if they were doing something wrong, I don't think it would have just been dropped. Like, I don't think the Patriots, you know, Mangini said that they had permission from the Patriots, and then someone with the Patriots asked them to leave, and they stopped. If that's not true, I think the Patriots would have defended themselves and said, you know, because yesterday they had no comment for that. They tried to get a comment from Belichick and a comment from the organization itself, and they just let it stay. You know, if there's incorrect information out there, don't you think that they want to correct it? So I have to think that Mangini's version of what happened is accurate.
I think
yes
at this
no.
point the Patriots don't want to make any statements
about
it.
Yeah, no,
anything.
I agree. I agree.
You know, whether it's right or wrong, I don't think they're going to say anything. But, you know, there's all this stuff about now who is really behind what happened with the Patriots in September. Is it Mangini? Is it Tannenbaum? Did both of them have nothing to do with it? It was just the security guy.
If it was just the security guy acting on his own, see ya. Well, he should be out.
You know who this guy is, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. He actually worked for the Patriots.
I don't know him personally, but I know he was Parcells' guy.
He was Parcells' guy, came in, he's a ex FBI, I think, guy and real, you know, we think Our security's tough.
Is that the guy that was here for a long time?
No.
It's not him?
Who?
Frank?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Oh, Frank Mendes?
Yeah.
No,
it's not him?
No.
This is a legitimate guy.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Wow. Oof. Nice shot there.
Yeah.
No, this, you know, supposedly...
This is an FBI guy, not like a former cop.
I do know pretty much for a fact that Dan Lieberfeld got the info from
that
from
security
guy.
Right.
Now, who told him to do it or he did it on his own, yep. I don't know. But there is the report about a former Patriots assistant who came over in the last year or two to the Jets is true, who knew about all the stuff that the Patriots did video-wise. That's absolutely true. So
I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, you're talking about Brian Daboll?
No.
I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, okay.
The son.
What report is that you're talking
about? That there was, you know, that perhaps this assistant who came over from the Patriots is the one that tipped off the Jets on to what the Patriots were doing, the kind of stuff they like to do.
Yeah. No, I know who he's talking about, but I don't understand. I thought this was something that everybody knew they were all doing.
But a lot of people say, well, it's like,
why would you need someone
about
it?
He knew because of being here. He's
right.
The one that told the Jets to look out for this, and maybe it wasn't him. I don't know.
I just thought that everybody has been kind of blowing this off by saying that this is something that's common practice around the league. Everybody does it. Everybody knows it's done.
Well,
and the Jets broke protocol by
no stuff is
tattling,
done, but the way the Patriots do it was obviously different than the way other teams do it because they had a guy just standing right there on the sideline. You know. So.
Well.
Anyway.
We're going to do picks, Hi-Ho, or what?
Oh, yeah, we got to do picks.
I was wondering what you were doing over there. Yeah. I knew you forgot.
We got to get into picks. All right, real quick. Last week was a good week, and as Tom likes to blow off the weeks that he doesn't do as well as other people, all the favorites won.
No, I'm just saying. It's a weird – I was talking about that San Francisco game against Minnesota where I took the 9 points. That's a game, even if Minnesota covers, it's usually a tight game. You know what I mean? Like San Francisco's kind of in it. Mm. They got blown away. In the first quarter, if you bet that game getting 9 points, you had no chance.
Right.
These teams just stink. I mean, San Francisco, Carolina, Atlanta, they're just bad
Miami,
football teams. They have no chance of staying close to anybody.
So everybody did well. Andy and I went 14-2.
Ooh.
Tom, Eric, and Fred went 13-3. With the number, I went 12-4.
Wow.
Fred and
That's
Andy
good.
Went 11-5, excuse me. Eric went 9-7, and Tom went 8-8.
I let you try to take some underdogs, you see?
I told you. That leaves the season standings at Eric, 140-68. I am 138-70. Fred and Tom, 136-72. Andy, 134-74. With the number, I have caught Eric.
Ooh.
106-93-9. Both of us. Fred, you have a two-game lead over Tom, 103-96-9, Tom 101-98-9.
It's time.
And Andy Hart, this is very impressive, I think.
He's coming back, isn't he?
99-109. He's only one game below 500.
Yeah, starting to come up.
That's quite a little comeback.
All the
comeback
favorites are covered. What do you expect? you know what's going to happen this week. I'm going to go with all the favorites. And they'll be like, boy, 10 underdogs covered this week.
Now, Mr. Cerebral over there with all his underdogs.
You know, much to my chagrin.
You guys are 13 games above 500 against the number, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah,
much to my chagrin, however,
near that
I've lost my lead in the newspaper picks.
Not over me.
No.
You're still ahead of
I'm still ahead of everyone in PFW, but I've lost the overall lead by
Reese?
three games.
Oh, I don't know who's leading.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. I don't look
He's
at
three
that.
Games ahead of me, and we have the exact same picks this week, so I can't make up any ground on him. That means I only have 2 weeks to try to catch him.
Interesting.
I'm a little upset about that.
All right, Fred, tonight's game is actually, we'll start with Eric this week because Andy's not here. Denver is at Houston, where the Texans are a home dog getting 1 point.
Home dog. I've been so wrong about a couple of teams this year, Houston, Tennessee, and Tampa Bay. I picked Houston to win it all. I'm sticking with that. To win this game. You said they're a dog. Okay. You said they're a home dog, so I'm going to win it.
Well, you said to win it all. I mean, that's implying, you know,
not
Super Bowl.
You know what I mean. They're going to win the game.
So you like Houston.
I like Houston. I don't like Denver. They're mercurial team, if I can use such a word on this show.
Sure.
No. Please dumb it down. Okay. And if you're going to use mercurial, we always talk about wide receivers. It's either Terry Glenn or right. Randy Moss or Terrell Owens.
Speaking of Owens, Tom, did you respond? I know Keyshawn came out. T.O. responded to Keyshawn. Now we're waiting for the Tom Casale response.
I don't care.
Okay.
What'd he say?
You didn't hear about Keyshawn?
No.
He went off on T.O. about how, you know, leave Bill Parcells alone. You're having a great year. I'd vote for you for one of the players of the year. But why do you have to keep making jabs at Bill Parcells?
And what did T.O. say?
T.O., he just went after Keyshawn Johnson, said, you know, he's nothing compared to me. If he wasn't on the roster for a Super Bowl, you wouldn't even know he was there. You know, we were drafted the same year. He just went after Keyshawn's playing ability rather than addressing what Keyshawn was complaining about.
That's very mature.
All right,
I would expect nothing less from him.
What do you think of the Denver-Houston game?
I'll take Denver. I don't have any reason why.
Yeah, I'm going to take Denver, and the only reason is because Schaub is not playing. I think both teams stink. When Schaub is playing, I think that the Texans are going in the right direction, but I don't really have much faith without him.
You know, apparently somehow Shanahan ended up on the Mitchell report. I don't know how that happened, but that's a joke.
Didn't work.
Didn't go.
Keep trying.
Just pick the game. We only have a half hour.
Oh my God!
Is that true? Schaub's not playing.
Yes.
No, we just made it up.
No, it's
I based my picks on a guy not playing, but I made it up.
Is it definitely he's an out?
He's out.
He's out.
All right, then I got to go with Denver. What's the number?
One.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Cincinnati is at San Francisco.
In a battle of two awful teams.
Yeah, that's 8 points.
Normally I take the points here.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with Cincinnati's playing better since Rudy Johnson got back, so I'm going to take them to win, especially after what we saw last week with Minnesota going in there and laying the wood to them. So I'm going to go. I'm going to go with Cincinnati and the points.
Well, I think Cincinnati's still trash, but like I said, normally I would take the Niners and the points here, but how can you?
Yeah.
They just got blown out at home by Minnesota.
Right.
I'll take the Bengals.
Eric, I'm sorry. Who did you take?
Bengals both ways.
Yeah, I will stay on that, and for the same reason Tom said. Atlanta, San Fran, Carolina.
They've given up.
I'm picking
What's
against
the
those
number?
Teams.
Eight.
I'm going to split it down the middle. Cincinnati wins, San Francisco covers.
Wow.
Well, okay.
There's one game I picked up on them.
Arizona at New Orleans. Saints by 3.5.
I'll take the Saints. They're
Tom,
at home.
You can't buy the half points.
Okay.
I'll take the Saints. They're at home. I really want to like Arizona, but not with that number. I'm going to take the Saints to win.
Yeah, I think with a couple injuries there on defense, Seattle showed last week you can spread out Arizona and throw the football on them. I think that's what the Saints do here and get a win at home.
I'm tempted to take the half point, but I won't. I'm going to go with the Saints, and they just are so inconsistent. I don't like picking for them 2 weeks in a row. I will do it anyway. Arizona just turns the ball over too much for my liking, so I'm going to take the Saints.
Me too, Saints.
you are so high on the Bill Simmons unintentional comedy scale. I don't even know where to begin. Atlanta, Eric, is at Tampa Bay, mm-hmm. where the Bucks are giving a mammoth 13.5.
Wow. Go, Pat,
13.5, huh? Well, I'm going to obviously take Tampa Bay to win this game. 13.5, huh?
Good day for Arthur Blank yesterday, huh? Man.
Good week.
Yeah, good year.
But this particular week,
wow.
He had the game, which they were an embarrassment. And not only the sentencing came down that day.
Right.
Then they go out and play. They play an embarrassment. Some of his players, as Domowicz writes all
right.
in his column this week, his players have Free Mike Vick T-shirts underneath their uniforms.
Right.
His coach looks him in the eye and tells him he's not going anywhere. He's his head coach. 12 hours later, he's gone. He's making, leaving form letters in his players' lockers, telling them how he's resigning. Not a good couple of days.
Free Mike Vick from what? He's guilty. Right. You know what? It's not right. like he was wrongfully accused.
Let's not get into that discussion because I'm going to say something I probably shouldn't. But we were talking
that would
about
be the first
this
time that you'd never say anything controversial.
Remember?
Anyway.
Yeah.
Who are you picking?
Anyway, I'm going to take
Roethlisberger.
Worthless hot dog.
Worthless hot dog. There you go. Worthless hot dog. I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Atlanta.
Make a
with
pick.
A number.
Oh, I put him on the wrong side.
Tampa, Tom? Tampa to win, Atlanta with a number.
Tom?
I'm going to go Tampa Bay both ways. The Falcons don't have a chance of beating anybody.
Yeah, I like Tampa on both sides. Coming off a loss, they need to bounce back with a good performance. And I don't think the Falcons are all that interested.
They may not even come out and play. They might just say the hell with it. Yeah, I'll say Tampa Bay.
Yeah, the only fear there is that they hated Petrino so much and they feel wrong so much, they might say, let's really show him how bad he was.
Then they'd have to show him with Chris Redman.
Right, yeah, that's why I got to take Tampa Bay. They're just too good. Baltimore is at Miami.
Ugh.
Where the Dolphins are getting 3.5.
Dolphins are favored.
No, they're getting
I'm sorry.
3.5.
Sorry. I was half paying attention to you as usual. I'm going to take the Ravens to win this.
Are you trying to hurt my feelings with that?
What, does it hurt more coming from me?
No, not at all.
That hurts.
As Rodney Harrison said to that guy yesterday, I don't even know your name, so why would I be offended by that?
Wow. All right, I'm going to take Baltimore to win. I think Miami's going to go 0-16. And I'm going to take them with the number.
If this is any other team in the league, I go against Baltimore. Like last week, I told you that the Colts were that once in a lifetime. My father called me up this week, said he wanted to put $1,000 against the Ravens because you only get that every now and then where a team puts everything out on the line one week, and then you just know they're going to quit for the rest of the year. Hmm. I just can't take Miami after what I saw last week in Buffalo. If you can't be competitive against the Bills, but if they win, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. I mean, Baltimore has clearly thrown in the towel, but I can't pick the Dolphins.
Seems like Miami's kind of thrown it in, too. That's the thing. They're awful.
See,
now they're not even trying.
I would have thought that they would have given everything they had to try to win one game, so to avoid that stigma of being a one-win, a winless team, but it doesn't seem like they've done that. So I'll take the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think – I mean, Cleo Lemon's going to play now.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. I mean, it's Baltimore's. I still think Baltimore has a pretty good defense, and
it could be another 3-0 game.
I think they're
as
running.
As evidenced by the 30 points they gave up in the first quarter the other night.
McGahee is running pretty well, so Baltimore scores 10 points, and that's probably all they'll need. So I'll go with the Ravens.
All right, what's up? What's up next? Buffalo. Hey, this is an interesting playoff battle.
Yep.
Buffalo at Cleveland. Who'd have thought that would be a playoff battle, Fred?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Browns by 5.5.
Yep.
Certainly not Dick Geron. He was just hoping not to get blown out.
Seriously. I like Cleveland because they're at home and because I think they have a little bit more talent and they're playing better. So I'm going to take them to win and with a number.
I got bad news for Dick Geron. The Browns big over the Bills by at least 2 touchdowns.
I agree with Tom. I think that Browns defense that was playing so badly all year, the last couple of weeks, quietly, not playing that bad. They haven't played great offensive teams, but they're not going to face a great offensive team this week either. So I agree with Tom. I think the Browns are going to lay a whooping on them.
Okay. I will agree. I'm going to say Browns in this game. So,
all right. Green Bay is at St. Louis.
That's my NFL game of the year. The Browns.
Browns?
Big. Big.
Okay.
The hell? I haven't had one yet. Throw it out there.
All right.
All right. Anyway, Green Bay is at St. Louis where the Rams are getting 10 at home. That means they're underdogs.
Thanks. Right? Thanks, Paul.
Okay, I just wanted to.
Thank
was
you,
checking.
Friend.
I, just wanted to
I was paying attention to you. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Does Favre still have trouble playing inside? Because at one time, wasn't he like really
in
bad
domes?
Indoors?
He did struggle a little bit
He's
with
been
that.
Bad in St. Louis, but is Bulger playing or no? Does anyone know this?
I don't.
Okay. Let me see if there's anything on NFL.
And you know what? It's not going to matter even if he does. I'm going to go with Green Bay to win this big. I mean, I've been wrong about them. I've been waiting all year for them for the other shoe to drop, and it hasn't happened. I think they're gonna lay a whooping on him.
Well, it kind of matters for me because the Rams are actually somewhat okay. If
you're gonna write that down,
if Bulger plays, I'll take
Green Bay is gonna lay a whooping on him.
Okay,
don't you worry about it.
According to NFL.com, both teams have no injuries reported.
That doesn't sound right to me.
This is a third.
The quarterback was out last week.
They update this on like Monday or something. What the?
Are you on the NFL.com?
I'm on the NFL.com.
I'll take the Packers to win.
Here that 10.5 number.
Here we go. I got to get cute. If Bulger plays, I think they got a shot. I'll take the Rams to cover. God darn it.
there's another loss you got to Fred right there.
I don't know. Depends
well,
on
he
what
gave,
I
did. He gave me that one with the Niners, so that evens that one out. I got Green Bay on both sides. I think that, Tom, when you talked about Favre a couple of weeks ago, I think that's really come true. You know, he's shown that he can beat up on the weaker links. And
yeah.
I think the Packers' defense will allow them to cover the spread. And then, you know, the offense with Ryan Grant becoming more and more part of what they do offensively every week, I think they find a way to cover the 10-point spread.
Yep.
It's not that many
Green
points.
Bay all the way.
I like when Fred validates my picks. Yep. another interesting battle here. Jacksonville is at Pittsburgh this week. Steelers coming off that pasting by the Patriots.
Yep.
Steelers at home, favored by 3.5. No, Tom, you can't buy the half point. I'm just going to say that every time it's a 3.5-point spread.
I think Pittsburgh will bounce back. I don't like the way Jacksonville has been playing. I'll take Pittsburgh both ways.
Well, I heard on NFL Network again, are we sleeping on Jacksonville? No, they played the Colts twice and lost both games. They are what they are. They're a middle-of-the-pack playoff team. The Steelers, a different team at home. I don't feel like they gave I don't feel like they were the Ravens and they left everything on the field against New England
exactly.
That they're going to be down. I think they know they need this win. And so I'm going to take the Steelers at home. I just don't trust Jacksonville in a big game until they win one.
Right.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Until Jacksonville wins one of those games against a team that's at or above their level, I'm not picking them.
That's a good point, Paul.
I think that's going to be the rallying cry this week, and I think I'm going to take Jacksonville to do just that, to use this as a statement game. We're going to beat a team that might see in the playoffs or whatever.
Yep. You just gained one, Tom.
All right, Seattle. Seattle has won quietly. Speaking of teams that you might be sleeping on, Tom, sleeping in Seattle, 5.5 over. No, I'm sorry, 7.5 over Carolina.
Ooh. Oh, that number couldn't be high enough. I don't think Seattle big.
I wouldn't take Carolina unless they were playing Atlanta. So I'll take Seattle.
Yeah, I like what the Seahawks have done ever since they decided that Sean Alexander can't play, and have pretty much gone to the passing game, and they've looked good, and they have those receivers out there. They're all playing well and contributing, and Seahawks got it rolling.
And
I think they make it 6 in a row.
Real quick, though, the other reason why the Patriots won't take McFadden number two, running backs don't matter in the NFL anymore. They really don't. I mean, you're looking at all these.
All the good teams have
just
a secondary running game. Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, I know it's probably cyclical and it's kind of coincidental, but right now all the really good teams have a complementary running game.
But I like what Dallas has with Jones and Barber. I mean, that's a good 1-2.
I like it, too. They run the ball 12 times a game.
Right. They use Barber in different
ways. But they're effective.
Ways.
What's Barber's average per carry right now? 6?
No, it's not that high.
Is it?
No, it's because he's getting more carries this year. I think it's like 4.8 right now.
Hey, that's pretty good.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, you think of him, but he just doesn't run the ball. He's a receiver, too, so they kind of use him in both ways. They're not a team that lines up and says, here we come, we're going to run the football.
Right.
And a lot of his carries are when they're ahead. Unlike, they don't do what the Patriots do, where they use, like, Welker to they run Barber when they're ahead.
Anybody surprised that it's only 7.5 for this game?
A little bit.
Is it because of the distance, all the travel?
I've been noticing this with the Panthers' lines. They don't seem right to me. It's like they're still getting respect for the team that we thought they used to be.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a West Coast team traveling to the East and playing.
And Seattle has never really been that great on the road.
No, absolutely. You got Seattle both ways?
Yeah.
All right. Moving right along. We have Tennessee at Kansas City, where the Chiefs have played every game this year.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. There's only 2 games left, so you can't say when are they going to play on there. You know what I mean?
And they're a home dog getting 4 points to the Titans.
Yeah. Like I said at the start of this, Tennessee is one of those teams that I've been wrong about all year, but I'm going to go with them again. I'm going to go with them to win by at least a touchdown. So both ways.
A tough loss for the Titans last week. They had that game in the bag. It would have put them in good playoff positioning. But until Kansas City wants to admit that guy they have at quarterback can't play, they're not going to win any games. So I'm going to take Tennessee with the defense.
Me too.
You're going to let Paul pick or what?
I like Tennessee, Fred.
Okay.
Yep.
I figured we'd all take Tennessee.
I do. Moving right along, we have Indianapolis at Oakland.
Oh, I don't even care what the number is.
10.5.
Doesn't matter. Go with Indy.
Yep, I'll take the Colts here. The Raiders don't have a chance.
Yeah, I like. I think Manning has finally gotten comfortable with what he has left to work with, and they are now back in their normal form.
One of the things I think might be going on there is I think that they've said to themselves, Harrison's not going to be back here this year. And I think they started getting more involved with, like, Gonzalez. I think they know that he might have to be the guy for the rest of the season now. He's not just holding that down for Harrison.
Good point.
So I like the Colts.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, look at the Colts. I mean, everyone's talking about the Patriots, but is there anybody playing better right now than the Colts?
The Patriots.
The Patriots.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the Colts are...
Are you a Colts fan now? I
mean, he wants to marry
for
the
years,
defense.
For years, he's waiting for us to get on board. We're on board, undefeated, everything. He doesn't think they're going to go undefeated. He loves the Colts defense. He thinks they're playing better than the Patriots. I don't get it. Reverse
psychology, I think.
You can't possibly say that they're playing better than the Patriots.
They played a team
that
quit.
Good.
They played a team that quit.
They played
they're
a team that quit,
well
but they killed them.
Right.
Like they're supposed to.
But I'm just saying.
They also have two losses.
That team that played the Colts wasn't the same team that played the Patriots. It just wasn't.
They're playing good football.
All right. Okay. We know that. They only have two losses. They're good.
What about when they squeak by Kansas City? Isn't that the same as squeaking by Philadelphia
well,
the way
you know,
the Patriots
things
did?
Happen, but right now they're playing really
Patriots
well.
Patriots are playing far better than Indianapolis. Anyway, Detroit is going to San Diego where they're probably going to get killed. I don't want to lead you a pick or anything, but the Chargers are favored by 10.
10. I'm picking San Diego to win because I've tried to ride that Detroit bandwagon for as long as I could. They've disappointed me. Something tells me, though, I'm going to take Detroit with the number.
If he's
it's 10?
Yeah. If he's right and Detroit covers, I don't want to hear the name San Diego Chargers again this year because this game they should wallop. Absolutely
at
destroy
home.
Detroit if they're starting to play well here after an emotional big win last week. So this is the last chance they get with me. So I'll take the Chargers both ways.
Yeah, I like the Chargers both ways too. But the only thing I would say about that, Tom, I would leave the door open for a backdoor cover. I mean, if they're up, you know, if they're up 34-17 in the fourth quarter and the Chargers score the last touchdown.
I mean, Detroit.
They should
I mean, Detroit
they should
scores
win
the last
game
touchdown.
Easily, though.
Yeah, I think that the Chargers will win this game easily.
I'm going to go with the Chargers as well. But like Tom said, I mean, come on. Who are you? You know?
They're not very good.
Yeah.
They are what they are. I've given up on that team. All right, we have a few more games left, Fred. I know you get panicky when it gets to about 10
Four
off.
Games. 4 games in 10 minutes. We can do it.
I actually only have 3 left.
You got maybe, that New England game?
Maybe I forgot one. I have Philly, Dallas, Washington, Giants, Jets, Pats. Did I miss one?
Yeah, Minnesota.
Okay. Minnesota Philly is at Dallas, where the Cowboys are favored by 10.5.
I will take the much better team, the Dallas Cowboys, to win big. I don't like the Eagles. The way they're playing, I don't like their talent. I like the Cowboys. Cowboys are going to run the table, too.
That's a good point, Eric. Yeah, I'm gonna take the Cowboys in this game, but I'm still worried about that defense. I don't like the way they play it. I don't like anything about them if they have to play the Patriots in the Super Bowl. But this is one week where I think they will cover the number pretty easily because I think Philadelphia is in trouble.
Who's QB for Philly this week?
It's McNabb. That's why I like the Cowboys.
Do you like Dallas to cover?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm taking Dallas both ways too. I just think Philly stinks.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go with the split. Dallas to win, Philly to cover. McNabb has, like, maybe one last hurrah.
Yeah. All right, Washington is at the Giants, so it's an all-NFC East weekend, huh? Mm-hmm. The teams are playing each other. The Giants are favored by 4.5.
I'll take the Giants to win, and, I think this Gibbs is on his last legs. I think the Giants will score enough to cover that number.
I got a feeling that hangover we thought we were going to see last week from Washington when the whole everything that's been on their plate, I think we see it this week. They go on the road. Is that New York?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah, they kind of had the few everything. I think the Giants get this one pretty easily.
Yeah, I agree. The Giants, I think, had a big win and found a way to hold on and get that game in Philly. That gave them some confidence back, you know, coming off that Chicago win. They're now kind of right at the ship a little the last couple of weeks. I think they keep it rolling.
I'll go with the Giants as well.
All right, what's the Minnesota game that I forgot to write
Minnesota,
down?
Minnesota, Chicago's going to Minnesota, Monday night game.
Chicago at Minnesota, Vikings by, Tom?
I think it's like 6, if I saw it quickly.
Vikings by 6.
Oh, boy. I'm going to take Minnesota to win.
Actually, I have a paper right here.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You're going to take the Vikings?
Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings are another one of these teams that is...
Ooh, it's
like
it's by 10.
Hyde.
10?
The Vikings?
Yes. It opened at 7. It's up to 10.
Ooh. Boy. You know, wow. Chicago is a horrible team. They did lose their quarterback, which I think makes them a better team because I hated that quarterback. But
Kyle Orton starting this week.
Yeah.
The only thing, the only flaw in that theory is they haven't won any games without Grossman. That's kind of a flaw in that theory.
Maybe.
You know, if they went in and, you know, went 5-2 with a backup, I would say that Grossman was the whole problem.
10's a lot, but Minnesota's at home. I'll go with Minnesota both ways.
Yeah, I would never, ever take the Vikings minus 10 against anybody, but that tells you what I think of Kyle Orton, who I don't think could play in arena football. I don't think he has any chance of being an NFL quarterback. So defense, two scores on defense, covers the number.
I'll take the Vikings as well. And in defense of you, Tom, Eric, even if Greasy played, this game, I would be taking the points. I'd take Minnesota to win, but I'd take the 10.
I would too.
Not with Kyle Orton, no.
Yeah, Minnesota both ways. All right. That gets down to the last game, which, of course, is the Jets traveling to New England in what could be a very messy game. Now, this game starts at 1, and the weather report says that it's rain turning to snow on this day.
Can it
but
snow? My God.
When that happens, we don't know. And also, I think wind's going to be a factor.
30 to 40 mile an hour. Is
yeah.
It? Now, is it raining, snowing overnight, or it's going to be raining?
During
here?
The day, I thought.
Oh, because before they said snow at
starting
night, right?
Saturday night and coming into...
The storm is supposed to start Saturday night.
Right.
But I don't know what it's
going
to be.
Fred doesn't really know what's going on.
They don't know if it's going to be rain.
But there is rain involved.
They don't know if it's going to be rain or snow. That's what they haven't figured out yet. That's why they don't know how much accumulation they're going to get.
Okay, so messy.
And we got 23 and a half.
23 and a half, so it's come down a little bit.
That half, all right.
boy, well, obviously I'm going to pick the Patriots, but given the weather conditions, I think this is going to be a little bit closer than everyone thinks. I don't think this is going to be one of those, oh, we're going to drop 70 points on them. I see the Jets putting some fight up in their games. They've lost, what, like half a dozen by like 3 points or less or something? I mean, that tells me that they're trying.
Yes, Bill, they have had a lot of close games this year. Oh, that's how all their games go. They come down to the last possession, except for the Dallas game.
Thanks for reading the transcript there, guy.
And the last time we played them, but that's a long time ago.
You know, all year I've picked the Pats with the number. I think I'm going to have to go with the Jets.
Wow.
You know who's another team that's been trying real hard? Buffalo. You ever see what happened when they played the Patriots?
I did, yeah.
The Patriots, big. Don't give me this, they don't, this Bill crap. Big.
I'm more concerned about
big.
The weather.
I don't care.
Having an impact.
Bill will have whatever he needs. If he needs it sunny, it'll be sunny. If he wants it to rain, it'll rain.
He'll touch the dial.
This guy's been walking into press conferences with a smile on his face. That's never happened before.
Coming off the New York media press conference.
He ain't coming off. You know what he's coming off of? He's watching the Jets on film, and he's coming in our press conference smiling and laughing. The Patriots will be all over the Jets in this game. They might not score 70, but it'll be 48-3.
But even with the weather, 40 mile an hour weather?
Don't the Jets have to play in that weather?
Yeah.
With a quarterback.
It could be 10-0. It could be 20-0.
So the Jets aren't going to turn the ball over at all with Kellen Clemens. Let me tell you this, Fred. I saw them play a Cowboys team that had no desire to play a game, and they lost by 31.
Okay.
That's all I'm telling you.
All right.
I just think the weather thing, if they were playing the Colts, then I think, we look at the Jets, the ball's going to be all over the place. They stink. It's all over. Patriots, big.
I hope that's right. I hope you're right. I hope I'm wrong in this
case. Like the Patriots, big, too. I don't care about the weather.
How are the Jets going to get a first down?
I will say that. You know, there's been a lot of talk this week about the fact the Patriots are unbeatable in bad weather. No one's suggesting they're going to lose the game.
Right.
I don't think anybody is suggesting they're going to lose the game.
By how much they're going to win.
They're a better team,
I heard them talking this morning on WEEI, and they were saying, well, Brady has got, you know, they're 9-0 in snow, and Brady is like 6-0. And you look at his passing attempts, and he's always throwing the ball around 30 times. Well, that's a lot lower than he normally does this year, number one.
Right.
And the scores of the games, none of them have been by more than 23.5 points.
Right.
So no one's suggesting they're not going to win the game. You know, for the most part, the games have been closer, and I've got to think that weather was partly responsible for the games being closer. And they beat Miami that year 12-0. That was a dominant performance by the Patriots.
Yep.
But it was only 12-0.
Right.
Right.
So that's where I think some of the people have the fears. I don't have that fear because I don't think the Jets will be able to move the ball at all.
That's what I think.
If there's bad weather. Right. Whereas I think that you can move the ball a little bit on the Patriots defense.
Sure.
And if there's and the weather, I think, will affect the Jets worse than it affects the Patriots.
All right.
Patriots big.
Me too. Patriots cover. But again,
I gotta get back in and change that.
It's not going to be 50-something. It's going to be something like 27-3 or something like that.
That's whatever what it is, it'll feel like 50-0, whatever it is, because they're going to take control from the opening kickoff to the final whistle.
Yeah, I'm not denying that. I'm just saying that I think it's going to be a lower scoring game.
All right, Browns, NFL game of the year. Hit it.
All right, now John Rook's on the phone, and I heard, John, you're on the Mitchell Report.
Yeah, I've been kind of watching it around here, guys, and seeing all
the UCLA Olympic Analytical Laboratory.
Okay.
George
is on the
list.
Podium.
Yeah, he's on the podium right now, and hadn't really gotten anything. It just the only thing that's concrete right now is that in the Mitchell Report, it says that the trainer for Clemens and Pettit, as recently as 1998, basically gave him several injections of Stanislaw in his, you know, derriere.
Mm.
That's basically what they're saying.
Right.
So
9 years ago.
9 years ago, yeah. Right. And that it did have an effect on his performance.
Are you saying that's irrelevant?
I think that this is much to do about it.
I think that puts more of his career in jeopardy, in doubt than we
just feel
it
that.
It absolutely puts integrity in doubt here.
Yes.
Fred's the only person in America
Fred thinks it's
otherwise.
Much ado about nothing.
I think that.
Why do you think that?
Because we.
Evidently, the names aren't big enough.
Personally, I thought that these guys were always doing it. I think most people.
But you didn't know who. You did not know who.
I just assumed.
You just said the guys.
Well, Fred, I thought so. Fred, I thought so too. I thought these guys were doing it all the time too.
Absolutely. Now I know.
You know. Now we know. That's exactly right. And I have to admit, a couple of the names that are on this list have hit me like a ton of bricks today.
Veritek?
Yes.
Mm. Oh, you got to be kidding me.
No.
See, you know,
Trot Nixon.
I would put him right on the top of the list. He's the first guy I would assume would be taking this stuff.
No,
see,
I disagree. I
really?
I don't. He's not one that I would have suspected.
He would have been very high on my list. He went from 27 home runs to 5. He would have been very, very high on my list.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys, you don't look for the increase in production. You look for the decrease when the you know what started to come down.
Yeah,
a couple years ago.
But Trot was never really up there in terms of numbers. And again, here we're slinging stuff around here without really saying definitively what might have transpired. Because in a lot of these cases, and I'm sure this is what the overwhelming majority of these guys, with the exception of the obvious ones, are going to be concerned. They're going to say, "Yeah, I took HGH to try to recover from an injury."
Of course.
That's what they're going to say.
Right.
Yeah.
So we don't really know.
I don't fall into the delineation category. I think those are both illegal performance-enhancing substances, and I think they will be, in my mind, they're treated the same. I know some people have a difference for HGH as steroids. I don't.
I agree with you.
See, Paul, we went through this with the whole Rodney Harrison thing. You know,
that's why a lot of people in Boston have a delineation now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. A lot of people do have a
delineation. I'd buy it.
All right, John, we got to get going. You're safely at home, so you don't have to drive in the snow. We'll see you later.